listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
The best living or dead, hands down, huh? Let's talk more head right now, huh? And my eyes more red than the devil is, and I'm about to take it to another level, bitch. And it's not a who you get. Ain't nobody cold as this. Do the rap and the track, triple double no assist. These words are not right. Tripled up and no assist. That's not what white person wrote this. And my only focus is staying on some bogus shit. Are you with my older bitch? Acting like I owe a shit. I heard the preacher say rats will give trap dane. Bought the chain that I always give back pain. Fucking up my money, so yeah, I had to act sane. Shy nigga, but he's holding up my accent. These hoes love my accent. We can't have nothing. Anyway, welcome to the Blackout Tips. Who did this? This is not how it goes at all. That's what y'all be hearing when y'all hear us talk. Anyway, welcome to the Blackout Tips, y'all. It's Rod and
Karen.
Jesus, that's unforgivable right there. Oh man,
they wouldn't even try to listen, would it?
Right, that's like the that's terrible.
Yeah, that's like the people that try to translate on your TV sometimes. When certain people talk, especially they have heavy accents or something, and all of a sudden you be like, that's not what they said.
Right. You have to go through. Anyway, welcome to the Blackout Tips. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher. Leave us 5-star reviews. If we like them, we'll read them on the show. We appreciate all y'all to take the time out to do that. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
A bullet ball extreme. And today's podcast is sponsored. It is brought to you by Bevel. Bevel is the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Check out getbevel.com. That's GETBEVL. Wait, getbevel.com/TBGWT. That's GETBEVL.com/TBGWT. And they're going to hook your ass up with a first month free. All right. And it's also brought to you by Tweaked Audio. That's right. Tweaked Audio is the maker of some fine audio buds for your ears, okay? So when you go to work and you're tired of your stuff breaking down all the time and you're tired of spending too much money on some headphones and the one ear is just going to go short, think of Tweaked Audio, okay, guys? Go to tweakedaudio.com. They got all kinds of styles up there. The California, the parkour too, the classic, the natural, the Hegons, and my favorite, the Hellers, which are some wireless headphones that also, you know, you can talk on your phone with them and all kinds of stuff. You can exercise with them, all different kind of colors, you know, mics, no mics, noise reduction design, like everything. They fit in your ears really nice. So yeah, they want to hook you up even further than just having a cool, dope sight. They will give you a third off of the cost for our listeners, and they'll even give you free shipping, and it comes with a lifetime warranty. All you got to do is put in code TBGWT. That's it. Tweakedaudio.com, code TBGWT. Go and get yourself some headphones. Listening style. All right, let's go ahead and get into all the stuff that happened today.
Before we do,
Karen.
Doing that Kanye rap. Well, then how the fuck they do karaoke? Has anybody ever done to karaoke and you're reading it?
I hope they don't use them lyrics because that ain't right.
All right, I'm thinking. You know? What?
Yeah, they're going to be up. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your waist just hypnotize me.
Right.
And I just love your fleshy waist.
Right. You're going to be like, this is not how this song goes.
Anyway. You know, I was thinking of a couple things I did want to say before we even start the stories.
Okay.
Now that we know Nick Cannon had quit taking the white man's check, okay, he can go full Hotep now. What do you think his Hotep name going to be? I was thinking about that. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking Professor Osiris Muhammad X, maybe.
You got to put the honorable
in front. Yeah, the honorable Professor Osiris Muhammad X. Mm-hmm. That would be a good one. I think, you know, it's not taken, I don't believe. You can still get that domain name.
Oh, so, yeah.
We'll see. I don't think he can go by Ike Turnup. Mm-mm. If it's going to be full Hotep like he's been trying to do as a dignified voice for his people that can't do America's Got Talent and still have dignity. I think he should have did America's Got Talent, but he just should have took a knee like Kaepernick at the start of every program. I would have kept that 70,000.
Me too, but hey, that's just me.
Yeah, but you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Y'all can say what y'all want to. I'd be like, do you, would you like me to sign your shoes, boss?
So you know that KKK Grand Wizard we talked about yesterday, he got found dead, and it looks like the wife and son, stepson may have done it. Mm-hmm. That is going to be the best episode of Snapped of all time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's going to be on Snap. Because you know it's about to be, he was abusing me, and I, you know, who's going to believe he was a good person after him just being an open, blatant racist that threatens people? I mean, is that far-fetched? I think he beat it, and I don't even know anything else about the case.
I think he did, too.
I mean, they could be just as racist as him, and I'm already giving them the benefit of doubt because he was so openly racist. But I think it's going to be a lit episode of Snap, and when it does come out, I will be live tweeting it and watching it automatically. Oprah, on whoever covers that channel, I need y'all to get on it. Mm-hmm. Can we is there a process to rush something to Snapped? So I feel like this should get a rush order of Snapped.
Oh yeah, just like they rush their movies, like Marky Mark gonna be a cop for the bomb
Boston for the Patriot Marathon bomb. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Boston Marathon. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we need that.
You can make it fast if you want to.
I think we need to make it fast, man. But especially we need to make it fast before he comes back to life.
Ah!
I mean, he's a wizard. You guys seen Lord of the Rings? Well, Gandalf the gray came back as Gandalf the white.
Oh, he prepared. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this dude could come back as...
Mm-hmm. He got a spell somewhere. They chanting right now to bring him back.
He could come back as Anaconda the alt right or whatever. He could come back... Or do they powers not work like that? Do KKK wizards not have magical powers? Mm-mm. Okay, well, Karen says they don't, so I guess not. I hate, and I don't know how often this happens to you guys, but I hate when I'm in my car and I look at the rearview mirror and I see, like, my BFF, you know, like my best friend, and I get out the car and it's not my best friend. It's just somebody that is like a casual associate that I barely know.
Ah!
I hate that shit.
Well, so you sound so disappointed.
Because in the car, and you look in the rearview mirror, objects appear closer
right
than they really are. But then when you get out, it's just like, we not even that close, dog. What? Why did I get out my car? You just a normal-ass regular person. I don't know you that well.
I understand, because you kind of get the excitement, you know, especially if you hadn't seen him in a while. You're like, yeah, I get to talk to him. You know, at least for a few minutes.
Right. But then when you stop looking in the rearview mirror, they just a dude that you don't even know their last name. Like a coworker or something. It's sad.
Come on. So my coworkers, I'm not even gonna lie, our department is so big, so my coworkers, I just know faces. I just know we all work together.
Let me tell you guys, it's Valentine's, okay, let's talk about love for a second, okay, because I love Valentine's. I mean, I don't really love Valentine's, but I celebrate it, okay, and I respect Valentine's, okay, and you got to treat people well, okay, because if not, you end up in the Amalamps, and you have to go to the library order to...
I wonder how you got there.
Figure out what happened. You know, I proposed Karen in the library.
You did.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And let me tell you about this woman over here. I respect her. How much do I respect my wife? I respect my wife enough to let her make horrible ordering decisions at restaurants without even correcting them.
Yep. And I thank you.
She ordered tacos from Chipotle. Now, I don't know why anyone would do that. It's a burrito place, you know.
You got tacos on your menu, and every time I do
not that. respecting the fact that, you know, this is not authentic Mexican cuisine.
No,
and you just decided that because it's on the menu, you got to try something different. Got to be different, y'all. So I watched this woman order some hard shell tacos a couple weeks ago,
right?
And then she ate like one bite and then threw it away. Why? Because I saw the man make it, and when they make it, apparently they just throw the fillings of a burrito onto three what look like shells of tacos. They don't even measure it out. They don't take smaller spoons. They just glop it all on top. Oh, you want sour cream? Sploosh. Oh, what you want? Some you want some salsa? Splash. It's just taco soup with three taco shells. And so then she ordered that, and it was terrible. And I thought to myself, this will be a lesson for her to remember. Because I knew when I watched her make it, I went, that's going to be terrible. Why would anybody eat that? And Karen's just so happy to be out and so nice to people and stuff that she's just like watching him make this catastrophe. And she's just sitting up there like, it's all right. Like, I don't know if she's just too busy talking to him or just not paying attention to, but I'm like, that's not good. What he's making you is going to be terrible. How are you going to drive home and eat this? But no, she ate it or didn't eat it really. It's just wasting my money, gas and time. And then, so then like 2 weeks later, come home from the theater, was like, hey, let's get something to eat before we review John Wick. I said chop. She's like, let's go Chipotle. I said, you know what, let's go Chipotle. If that's what you prefer to eat, we go Chipotle. And we go Chipotle, and she ordered some tacos. I just like, what the fuck, man? Just go to Chop then. You obviously don't care. You're not going to eat it. We got home. She refused to eat it. Why? Because it looked like a fucking, like someone took 3 tacos and put them in a aluminum foil, shook it up, and then slammed it together and then said, here, eat this. It's just it's a wasted effort. It's futile. But that's what respect is, people, because I saw that shit coming from the second that she said tacos when we were standing in line. And you know what I didn't do? I didn't roll my eyes.
Thank you.
I didn't let out a passive aggressive sigh. I didn't go, Karen, are you sure you want to do that? Because you know you're not going to eat it. You remember what they did last? I didn't say anything, guys.
This time I even tried salt. I did hard ass salt.
So I waited till we got all the way home, and she was throwing her food away, and I went, do you remember 2 weeks ago when you ordered that and it was terrible? She's like, yes. I was like, why are you ordering the same thing? Just throwing it's just wasted money and time. And then she was like, oh, I got them soft this time. I was like, why would that make it better? Why would it make it better? They fucked it up the first time because they didn't care. They just don't care. Someone on Twitter sent me a picture and they said every time they order tacos from Chipotle, they make them meticulously go and put every ingredient in small take-home containers. They make them do that. That's how little they care. You just paid money for a fucking taco. You gotta go home and make yourself.
Okay.
Don't even order it. Don't even waste y'all time, y'all.
No more. If you're thinking about it, don't do it, because you will be highly upset.
Oh my God. It was really, really sad, y'all. And then them poor tacos, they still in there. You know what I did, guys? I went and we have taco holders at our house. Mm-hmm. I went and took the taco holders because Karen just threw it away. Just threw it on the table like, fuck it. I went and took the taco holders. And I carefully went in there like a surgeon and put them tacos back together again so that Karen could enjoy her tacos. And she took one bite, threw it away. So
I did eat some, but...
Just no more tacos.
No more
Chipotle.
Tacos. No more tacos.
This is a waste
fuck
of time
them for that bullshit.
And don't, you got to stop ordering stuff. You keep every time we go somewhere, you try to be a little bit different, but you can't just be different with everything. Some places only make one good thing, and when they make one good thing, you go to a Chinese place, you want pad thai, all of a sudden you got ketchup noodles and terrible pad thai that nobody would ever eat. It's just. Right. Sometimes you just gotta be like, look, this ain't in y'all wheelhouse. I know y'all trying. I appreciate the options. But y'all don't come from this. Mm-mm. No.
That's like where we went and they was doing fish. Arby's. Yeah, I was like, well, what the fuck you gonna eat fish from Arby's for? They don't specialize in it. They better specialize in the roast beef.
So you know not to do it there, but then.
No, I wouldn't do it there.
Okay. All right.
I know.
Okay. Just remember.
Me too. I'm confused too, dog. Me too.
Yeah. all right. And then last thing. It's weird having a person in the White House that not only watches Saturday Night Live, roast his ass every week, but is too stupid not to tell America that he's watching it and getting mad. It is weird, right? Like, because I'm assuming... For 8 years, Obama caught hell from a lot of people. Good and bad. Justified and unjustified. Yo, this man never had a moment where he just was like, man, fuck y'all. Y'all know I'm doing the best I can. Why y'all on my shit all the time? You know, racist stuff got interrupted. You lie. He had politicians that wouldn't shake his hands when he came to see them. You know, he had people just make shit up, blame terrorism on him, call him weak and soft on on diplomacy and shit. Meanwhile, every country done popped off in the last 3 weeks. Just niggas shooting nukes in the air now. Motherfuckers shooting long range missiles. Like everybody just like, do something, Trump, you bitch ass nigga. And he talked all that shit. Republicans have been talking that shit for 10 years about Obama. And now we have a thin skinned tyrant that's not really a tyrant. Like, he talks a big game, but he can't do none of that shit he said he was gonna do. All that, I'm about to do, these countries gonna know when I'm in charge, I will nuke Iran. It's like, okay, well do it then, bitch. You know, like Iran, like, we just fired off some test missiles and broke all the sanctions that Obama put in place, cause fuck y'all. And it's like, it sounds more and more like only one dude was keeping all this shit in place. Like, there was one person that was very serious about this shit and a bunch of people that were not. You know, so when I say that on Twitter that, you know, it's amazing that how these countries are popping off while the Republicans tried to call Obama soft on diplomacy. And this one woman was like, yeah, well, he was soft. I mean, he didn't do nothing about Russia. I was like, see, how do I answer this without insulting you?
Right.
For your lack of knowledge. Like you promptly hopped up to say something because you thought, here's a fun time to take a shot at Obama. That's what you thought, to be honest. Like, I don't like Obama, and here's a chance to say something bad about him. Who knows? You know, there are certain black people that kind of get off on, like, anything bad I can say about that dude is like I get a star on my chest for it. But I'm like, does it matter that it's not true and that you just show a whole lot of ignorance? Like, all the events that popped off this week, a lot of them stem from the fact that Obama did put sanctions on Russia after that hacking shit. And they're trying to find a way to lift these sanctions, and the Trump administration they're not able to apply their brute strength. That, like, he left them a fucking Rubik's Cube, to be quite honest. He basically just left them a Rubik's Cube and said, untangle this. Like, how are you gonna get these sanctions taken down? Cause that's your homies. How you gonna get them taken down without, looking like a traitor? Without committing treason? Like, he left them a fucking Rubik's Cube. It's diabolical and ingenious, honestly. Not to mention, like, so much of the shit that popped off in Russia, he destabilized their economy. It's like, facts don't matter, dog. Facts don't even matter. It's just, I can say something mean. Ha! It's like, alright, well, cool. I guess it don't matter that this isn't true, or that there's no measurable way for you to, anyway. I just thought that shit was interesting because it's so the opposite now, because a nigga watches TV and be like, y'all talking about me? Like, dude, you supposed to be presiding over everything, and you on Twitter, like, y'all have, like, you getting subtweeted, you know?
Yeah. And that's what Hillary Clinton tried to tell y'all. She was like, y'all want the nigga to tweet? That's what y'all want.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently they did.
Nigga that tweeted at 3 a.m, she brought it up multiple times.
Right.
But, yep. All right, let's get to these stories. Jeremy Meeks, who you guys may know as Prison Bay, you know, he's been out and about for a while. He's made his New York Fashion Week runway debut.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Prison Bay has stayed out of jail, and he's gainfully employed, and he's now working as a full-time as a model. Mm-hmm. I guess you could say he's a model prisoner.
Ha, ha, ha.
I guess you could say that. Yeah, he, like, it's funny because the internet is powerful like that. Dude went from literally just like a joke, a meme of, look how fine this boy, I would pay his commissary or whatever, and then motherfucker is working now. Like, stayed out of trouble and everything. He's out here at Fashion Week holding it down. And I guess also for fashion people, it adds a little bit of edge to their shit to be like, look, we have a young street tough wearing our Philip Plein jeans.
Ah,
shit.
Ah.
So, yep. Shout out to him, man. Did your thing.
Way to go.
Made it over a year. Finding the same things funny is the secret to satisfaction in a relationship, scientists say.
I find a lot of same shit funny.
A researcher conducted an analysis which found that couples with a shared sense of humor is strongly linked to relationship satisfaction. The research found that it's not a particular style of humor that matters, but that both people in the couple share a sense of what's funny. The research warns not to make your partner the butt of the joke, and having an aggressive sense of humor is bad for a relationship. Oh yeah, I mean, I don't know how those people make it, those people where they literally, it sound like a fight all day, even though they claim to be joking. Like, I'm always amazed at those couples. Mm-hmm. Like, if you've ever been around a couple like that, it's always like, holy shit, are y'all fighting? Are y'all about to hit each other? Like, what is happening? Mm-hmm. Well, some people can do that.
Right.
I can't.
Right. And every joke is some pieces of truth. So I don't care what you say, when everybody else is gone, y'all niggas got to look at each other.
Mm-hmm. Professor Jeffrey Hall, Associate Professor of Communication Studies at the University of Kansas, came to the findings through a meta-analysis. A meta-analysis is a statistical method for combining data from more than one study and analyzing it all together in a type of data pool. This is a way of analyzing large amounts of data and increasing the sample size in an analysis. The professor, for his meta-analysis, he surveyed 39 different studies involving more than 15,000 participants on the topic of humor and relationships. He said that whether people think you're funny or can make a joke out of anything is not strongly related to relationship satisfaction. But what is strongly related to relationship satisfaction is the humor that couples create together. Professor Hall says, say you and your partner share a quirky sense of humor, but romantic comedies or sitcoms do nothing for either of you. So it's not that any style or sense of humor is any better or worse. What matters is that you both see quirky humor as hysterical. If you share a sense of what's funny, it affirms you and affirms your relationship through laughter. The meta-analysis to be published in the Journal of Personal Relationships analyzed data for 30 years worth of studies on the subject area. Professor Hall also found that playfulness in couples is a crucial aspect in bonding and establishing relationship security. Shared laughter is an indicator of a romantic attraction between potential mates, but Professor Hall warns that partners shouldn't make each other the butt of the jokes. Having an aggressive sense of humor is a bad sign for the relationship in general, but it's worse if the style of humor is used in the relationship. If you think that your partner tells mean-spirited jokes, then it's likely you've seen that firsthand or in your relationship. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder how, like mean people, like mean comedians and shit, like, how do they turn that off when they get home? And if they can't, then does that explain why a lot of them have trouble keeping people around? Because, like, hey man, you can't be roasting me every night, dog. Mm-mm. Like, I'm gonna need some time to myself. When I get home, I want a space for me to calm down.
Right. Yeah, you can't be roasting me from the time I get up to the time I get, you know, lay down. Everything I do is a motherfucking joke. You're like, nah, I don't mind laughter, but you got to pump your brakes a little bit, dog. And that's the thing, I don't even mind just the laughter, but it's one of those things where after a while, to most people, it's going to be a form of an attack, where it's like, okay, this is not funny no more, this is, you got a problem with me.
Yeah, like, obviously you hate me, when we're getting divorced.
Even if that's not what you meant, that's how it's going to feel.
Mm-hmm. It's not about being a great comedian, but finding what's funny every day and enjoying each other, whether that's The Simpsons or repeating funny things your kids say or the New Yorker cartoons or relishing in the absurdity of life. It is most important to do it together, he said. So there you guys go. It's Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day. Y'all probably looking around, you know, at the motherfuckers next to you like, is this connection? Is this, wow, am I alone? What kind of person should I be looking for? Hey, share a sense of humor is a place to start, you know?
It really is.
I think that's why so many people that listen to this show end up, you know, getting coupled up and stuff, because they laughing at the same shit to a certain extent, or people that share the show with their mate and stuff, and they're like, of course, that, you know, they find it funny as well or whatever. So, it's, you know, you have that shared sense of humor in some areas.
Yeah, because I've been around and I've dealt with people that have a zero sense of humor. And I'm looking like, woo, woo.
Well, that's the worst, because everybody thinks they got a good sense of humor. And pretty much everybody that says they do doesn't. So it's like, you know, it's always like those people like, I know. It's like they're always telling you that when they're getting mad at a joke. I have a good sense of humor and I know what I'm talking about, but listen, you shouldn't be able to say it. And I'm like, yeah, I don't think I'm gonna need some evidence of that part. Yeah,
you don't have a good sense of humor. Mm-mm.
Well, Burger King is trying to set the mood and get y'all in a Valentine's Day, you know, help your Valentine's Day out.
How?
They're serving up adult toys to their customers in Israel as part of a Valentine's Day campaign. As well as a dinner for two, diners can pick up a pink blindfold, black feather tickler, or a head massager.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I was about to say.
You thought I was going to be dildos, didn't you?
Right. I was about to say, you ain't leave something this alone with the kids' meal. What the fuck is happening here?
Yeah, I figured you was going to go straight to the dicks.
Right. You say adult toys.
There's more than just penises as adult toys, Karen. Okay.
I know it's rabbits and shit, too, but you ain't giving them to the kids.
They didn't. None of this is for the kids. What are you talking about? Not. What happened with the kids? Where did the kids get into this? This is for adults only. 18 plus.
Yes, but I was thinking, okay, it's Burger King. Kids gonna be in there, so I'm like, I don't understand how this exchange is getting ready to happen. Because, like I said, I was thinking dicks.
The saucy treat labeled as an adult meal is served inside of a moody purple box. Oh, for Prince. Ooh. Which includes a toy and two burgers, two fries, and two beers.
Oh shit.
What is Burger King doing in Israel? They get down.
In other countries, they prepare their food completely different than they do here in the States.
I always thought they was way more conservative than us. I've been thinking around my whole life. I didn't know he was getting sex toys and beer at Burger King.
Yeah, but I don't think no Burger King here serves alcohol.
Yeah, dog, let me get two them anal plugs, and I'm going to take number three.
Give me that wiper.
Let me get some beads, and I'm going to take a shake to go.
I know. Give me some whoppers, because I'm going to be whopping her tonight with this dick. Wink, wink.
I don't need no mayo, you know what I'm saying? I don't make my own at home, you know.
Self-supplied mayo.
She like that homemade mayo, you know what I'm saying? Don't worry about that, okay? Later on tonight.
You make daddy a sandwich. So you make daddy a sandwich. Daddy want a sandwich, I'm gonna make daddy a sandwich.
Also, they could have taken inspiration from McDonald's famous Happy Meal. That's a little some different inspiration, I guess. Really stretch that one out. The campaign appears to be aimed at those looking to make last-minute Valentine's Day dinner plans. Oh. So this is basically for dudes that forgot.
That or either, because on Valentine's Day, let's not pretend, everything is going to be packed. People are like, shit, do you really want to wait 5 hours? Or would you rather go ahead and go to work and go home?
Well, that's the other thing I'm saying, though, is that's just improper planning. You didn't get a reservation. It's still last minute, so it's right. Like,
yeah, you should have made your plan in January.
Applebee's is too packed, you know. Right. I would have took you yesterday, but you know that side chick's day.
Oh,
I'm just kidding, guys. Everybody knows side chick's day is the day. Oh wait, no, that's right. That's the day before Valentine's.
But who goes the day after then?
I think the day after is
the other chick.
Jump off chicks, like.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm,
yeah. If you can afford those, I don't know how
you have to splurge that budget.
I don't know how these guys are doing it. Honestly.
That's a lot of women that drug it around.
Right. One woman is expensive enough. I told you, take your tacos, throw them away in the trash, don't eat none. I don't know what y'all doing. Y'all just out here paying for tacos like that, huh, players? Y'all got it like that? An advert has been shared on YouTube in which the narrator says, kid meals, that's for kids. Oh, wait, I can play this, I think.
Kids meal? That's for kids.
Oh shit.
Burger King presents the adult's meal with an adult toy inside. Mm. Only on Valentine's Day and only from 6 p.m. Burger King.
Damn. Then they got the same chick that goes bangbros.com.
Okay, it popped up after the commercial was finished.
Oh, okay, hold on, I can replay some.
No problem.
I'm not good at the replay.
Kids meal? That's for kids.
Bitch. Tonight.
Oh, color changes and everything.
Burger King presents the adult's meal with an adult toy inside. Only on Valentine's Day. And only from 6 p.m. Burger King.
we have the meats.
Mm-hmm. 18 up. That's a grown ass burger. That burger was lit and everything.
Mm-hmm. You gonna put your meat in her buns.
Yeah.
Burger King. All right. Idris Elba is celebrating Valentine's. And he said, hey man, you can be my Valentine's date. Now here's the thing. It won't actually happen on Valentine's. Okay? But he will let you go out with him. You have 8 hours to fill this out, but he it's at omaze.com. You can be his Valentine, and you'll get flown out and put in a 4-star hotel.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, most women, they don't give a fuck on Valentine's Day.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Everybody lose. They be like, my baby, you gonna stay here with your grandma. Mama, nope. It's Valentine's Day. Mama, that was 3 months ago. I don't give a shit. It's Valentine's Day today.
Yeah, it's for Idris, too. You know they'll let them fly them out. I'm sure they ain't mad.
You, too, will take this L, kid.
Yep. So you can get a chance to be his. And for a limited time, if you use the code POUNDMYAMS, you get 100 bonus entries.
Oh shit.
Mm-hmm.
Not them yams. What's the yams?
Yeah, you pound my yams. Idris Elba will give you some bonus entries. Okay? 100 entries to win is only $10. 250 entries to win and a digital thank you card was $25. So good luck, ladies. I don't know if they let men do it too, but good luck, men. I don't know what
guarantee you some men,
I don't know what the rules are.
Some men apply too.
Yep, whatever it is. Good luck, everybody. Let's see what else we want to talk about today. Oh, there was a pilot who I guess you know how they can talk to the through the intercom before they take off. Mm-hmm. An airplane pilot.
Mm-hmm.
They went on a bizarre rant where she talked about her politics and her divorce.
Did she forget to turn it off?
So everybody deplaned. Because, you know, that's a lot, dog. I ain't trying to be, I don't want to be on this bitch when you decide to end it all or some shit or... Like, you scare me. I just want to know where we was going, what the expected time to get there would be.
When I'm getting my peanuts and soda.
Yeah, I don't want to know that you got in a custody battle. Like, now I'm feeling like I don't know about this flight so much.
To reschedule the flight.
United Airlines pilot was removed from a plane bound to San Fran at the bizarre rant about politics and her divorce. It happened Saturday before they left Austin, Texas. Oops, sorry, my computer is starting to freeze up a little bit. All right. The pilot got passengers' attention when she boarded the plane in her street clothes. Oh, nigga.
Oh, she wasn't even in uniform? Oh, no. Oh, hell no. You walk in there looking like me, I'm like, nope, I got to go. Nope, I will not be riding this plane.
She showed up dressed like a civilian and asked us to take a vote to see whether she should change into her uniform or fly as is.
Oh, she gonna lose her job.
Said Pam O'Neill, who was aboard the flight. Passenger Randy Reese tweeted, she asked if we were okay with her flying like that, then says, sorry, I'm going through a divorce. She then used the plane overhead PA system to rant about President Trump and Hillary Clinton, calling them both assholes.
Now at 11, Bay Area bound passengers scared to fly. Their pilot goes on a rant before takeoff.
United Flight 455 was about to go from Austin, Texas to SFO when the pilot's outbursts started. Passengers tweeted about their distress.
KPX5's Andrea Borba talked to some of those travelers who just landed. Andrea.
Well, Brian, Juliet, this all happened before flight attendants had a chance to even pass out the peanuts. First, passengers were confused, then they were concerned, and then the pilot was eventually relieved of her duties. United Flight 455. 5 from Austin, Texas, SFO got off to a start Saturday afternoon. The captain was late.
She chose us like a civilian and asked us to take a vote to see whether we should have her change into her uniform or fly as is.
Then passengers tell KPIX 5 it only got odder.
She was venting. She mentioned the wars.
She started off by saying that she had voted for either Trump or Clinton because they're a bunch of lies. Yeah, so that's an odd way to start off the welcome to your flight. But, yeah, it just...
And she was white. This sounds like some shit from a rom-com. Like, this is a, you know, like they had that moment where the person gets in the breakup and they go through the worst moment of their life and something, and the rest of the movie is about them fixing where they fucked up. Like, this is about 45 minutes into a rom-com, if not an hour and some change, to just like, oh, then she got on the plane in her jogging pants, and that was the funniest scene. Amy Schumer gonna definitely play this woman in a movie at some point.
It's really sort of went downhill from there, and didn't make a lot of sense to any of us.
That's when about 20 passengers said they didn't feel safe with her in the cockpit and got off the plane. Passenger Randy Rice sent this tweet, denied it. So, y'all, I'm shaking right now. I just left my United Flight 455 because the captain demonstrated that she was not mentally in a safe space.
She was not in the right state of mind.
We're a little afraid, having one that was somewhat unstable flying the plane.
United Airlines issued this statement. We hold our employees to high standards and have replaced this pilot with a new one to operate the flight, which has since departed from Austin. We apologize to our customers for the inconvenience. United put a new flight crew on the plane, and Flight 455 left about 90 minutes late to San Francisco. Now, United Airlines offered each passenger on that flight a 50 voucher for their time and their trouble. Live at SFO tonight, Andrea Borba, KPIX 5.
Holy shit. Yeah, I mean, that's...
Now at 11. Oh.
That's enough.
Yeah, I'm like the person chat room.
$50. Hey, look, could have been worse. They could have just said, go ahead and fly, y'all. Just go ahead and go up there. Y'all be good. Y'all straight? Y'all good? They could have just did that. You know, Spirit Airlines would have let y'all go.
Spirit Airlines.
They'd be like, this is a uniform. These my good jogging pants. Y'all talking about?
They ain't these stained.
Mm-hmm. Got these on, just bought these from Walmart, and y'all complaining. Lucky we don't make you walk.
Oh, Lord.
Mm-hmm. Keep talking. I'm going to pull the car over. Pull the plane over. Make y'all get out and walk. All right. Next segment. What? No. That's not what I wanted to do. That's not the fucking black people music. How'd that start playing? Next segment. Oh, wait. No. Wait, I didn't even mean to go into that segment yet.
Okay.
This is what I was looking for. Show you how. Do you wanna funk with me? Do you wanna funk with me? A Tennessee GOP bill says children born through artificial means are not legitimate. So, essentially, talking about things like artificial insemination.
Yeah, a lot of people do that for like
all kinds of reasons. Right. Don't have to be LGBT.
No,
but
straight people to do it too.
Just because some straight people get caught in a crossfire, don't mean that it's not an anti-LGBT intended consequence
right.
for people. You know, straight people in many cases will often betray their own straight people, their own straights, in order to get one over on a group that is marginalized. You know. WMC reported that State House Representative Terry Lynn Weaver is sponsoring HB 1406 to repeal Tennessee current statute TCA 68-3306, which declares that children born through artificial insemination are the legitimate child of the mother's husband. Okay, so essentially, if a woman is to have a child through artificial insemination, mm-hmm. that child is also considered, the father is considered her husband. Like, whoever's married to her, that person is considered the father of that child. Just as if she were to be pregnant, and deliver a child while you're married, that person would be considered the father by the state.
Okay, because sometimes people get donors.
Yeah, you can do all, okay. right, but that right, baby right, ends right. up being y'all's, right?
Right, right. You're head of count for
the same way child, we treat, right, right. okay. That but now sense. They want to change that. The text of the new bill says immediately it repeals the statute that deems a child born to a married woman as a result of artificial insemination with consent of the married woman's husband to be the legitimate child of the husband and wife. Last year, Weaver was one of 53 GOP lawmakers who got involved in a same-sex marriage divorce that dealt with the custody of a child born through artificial insemination. Weaver and the other lawmakers asserted that the lesbian wife of the child's mother should not be considered a legitimate parent under the current statute.
Oh no, you still accountable, baby.
Not just accountable, but you want this to be your child.
Right.
So it's essentially taking your child away from you. You know, or adding another layer of red tape you gotta go through because we, in my opinion, this is just an attack on marriage equality. So how do we make it so that marriage equality is like, we can just cut the underpinnings of it piece by piece until we get to a point where in our state, we can erase all the rights that they've been gifted, you know, quote unquote, gifted. So yeah, that makes sense. That's what I think they're trying to do.
Of course.
An Arkansas senator just introduced a bill to ban same-sex marriage nationwide. Yeah, funny. Everybody thought it was settled because the Supreme Court barely passed it. But, yeah, things are all back up in the air right now because you don't have a Supreme Court that will consistently go back and now they're gonna try to have a right-leaning Supreme Court, so now they're gonna try to bring up all these issues that they things we considered settled are not gonna be settled. I mean, they constantly do this with the right to have an abortion. They constantly do this. There's always a Hobby Lobby is saying this and so and so, and they always try to get back to go, how do we make sure that Roe v. Wade gets overturned somehow? Like, if not Roe v. Some, the next one, we'll win that, and that'll erase what Roe v. Wade was. Well, that's the process, and people have let our hands fall into the grasp of people that really want to undo a lot of that stuff. And unlike senators and presidents, no term limit on these judges, so they could be there forever. State Senator Jason Rapper just introduced a bill to add an Arkansas constitutional amendment banning same-sex marriage in all 50 states. The text of the bill, SJR 7, reads, "Nothing in this constitution or in the constitution of law or laws of any state may define or be construed to define marriage except as a union of one man and one woman, and no other union shall be recognized with legal incidence thereof within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction." The bill is a little more than an application to Congress to call a convention for proposing an amendment to the United States Constitution concerning the definition of marriage. Basically, it's a powerless move by a local politician who isn't actually able to facilitate change in our national government, but the impetus is clear. With a majority GOP Congress and an empty Supreme Court seat waiting to be filled by a Republican president, the future for same-sex marriage is starting to look grim. To be clear, the constitutional amendment process is an extremely difficult one and is rather unlikely, but the desire by so many GOP congressmen to overturn the U.S. Supreme Court's gay marriage decision is, in Obergefell versus Hodges is extremely disheartening. Yeah, and I don't know. The way this shit is working with our government, I feel like they gonna find a way. Cause I don't think it's, I don't think the legal protections that have been afforded and the proper channels of working things, they don't seem to have any respect for that. Mm-hmm. It's like, we ain't gotta do this shit. And that's just it for them.
We only honor the law when it's working for us.
Mm-hmm. I use the name Jess, a simple change from Jeff. Married mayor of tiny Texas town comes out publicly as transgender. The mayor of a tiny Texas town has come out publicly to reveal she is transgender. Jess Herbst, who became the mayor of New Hope 8 months ago, made the announcement about her gender transition in an open letter to the town's residents. The 58-year-old revealed she began taking hormone replacement therapy 2 years ago with the support of her wife, daughters, and son-in-law. At the time, I did not imagine I would hold the mayor's position, but here I am, she wrote in a letter posted on the town's website. I live my life as a female now. I will be performing my duties to the town as such. I use the name Jess, a simple change from Jeff. While she started taking hormone replacement 2 years ago, Herbst had mostly maintained her appearance as Jeff until last summer when she started coming out to certain people. She completely abandoned her appearance as Jeff by the end of 2016. Herbst is now the first openly transgender elected official in Texas. I know that transgender people are just coming to light in our society, and we have made great strides in the past few years. It is a gender identity, not sexual preference, that applies to me. I love my wife and she loves me. There's no intention of change. We have no intention of change. My daughters have been adamant supporters of me and are proud to tell people their father is transgender. It's going to be interesting how people react, because if she was elected and they were like, oh, like, I want to know, was it like an open thing where people knew, like, right, okay, our mayor is transgender and we're voting knowing that this moment of like public transition could happen, like to where they're out to the world now rather than just to some of us in this small town. I wonder if they knew, or if they're gonna be people trying to be like, oh, you tricked me, you know, how that is like a huge hurdle for a lot of people that are trans, is that there are people who act as if they've been like had somehow, and in that feeling also have a lot of anger, which is one of the reasons that trans people live under attack constantly, is because there's like this imposter syndrome thing, or you like, you tricked me. How dare you? I thought you were this and now you're not that to me and all that shit. So it's going to be interesting, because I've never seen that in the context of like a vote. You know what I mean? Like an actual holding a public office. What would, you know, and like, would these same people have been open-minded and been like, I'm voting for my mayor who I know is out and openly trans? Or were they like, I'm voting for my mayor, wait a minute, trans, you know what I mean? Like, what, I wonder what the reaction is by the town.
Trans I like is a trans man. What the fuck is right. this?
Like, I mean, Texas too, like, it just makes you wonder. Herbst has lived in the town of New Hope with only about 670 residents since 1999 with her wife and two daughters. The area where they live is considered to be quite conservative, and Donald Trump won by 17% of points in the election. That don't sound too good. Mm-mm. The small business owner was elected in 2003 as an alderman of the town and council, and was appointed mayor after the previous mayor died last year. Herbst has been documenting her transition on her blog, including the decision to openly come out as transgender to her family, friends, and colleagues. She said her first memories of being drawn to women's clothes stem back to when she was just 3 years old. I remember a particular dress of my mother's that I adored that was really the thing. I loved female clothes, boy clothes. They were just blah. I would go into my mother's room whenever possible and put on the dress. Around age 12, one summer, I came home to find a pile of fresh laundry on the dining table. Right on top was a clean white bra. It stopped me in my tracks. A feeling that I thought long gone returned. I grabbed the bra, locked myself in the bathroom, and just sat there for quite a while wearing it. Given her behavior, she was taken to see a psychiatrist by her mother. Herbst noted that being transgender wasn't understood at the time. Herbst said she met her wife in college, but when they got married, she focused on their lives together. It wasn't until their children were teenagers and living their own lives that she really started to research transgender. I knew what I wanted, so I had a long discussion with my wife, and she agreed to try some changes. We both went to my appointment with an endocrinologist. I told him I was transgender and asked to be put on HRT, she wrote. Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. I wonder if there'll be a I hope we get an update with what the residents think, because I bet you that's not gonna go over well with a lot of people.
No, it is not,
sadly.
Right.
Drone footage takes gay couple's marriage proposal to new heights. Now see, I'll try to be on gay people's side, but I knew this was gonna happen. I knew this was gonna happen. I called this. Y'all gonna stunt on us on this marriage thing. I knew it. Once you let the gay people get married, they about to do, they about to make our shit a shame.
Right. They gonna be like, oh, y'all thought y'all had some straight people?
We've only had thousands of years head start.
Right.
Within, what, been a year, 2 years? Within 2 years, gay people already like, pull out the drones and just stunt on these niggas. Like, really? Come on, man. No, we didn't even think of this. We had the technology
and we can't have shit.
We've had the privilege, and they just straight up was like, where are the unicorns? I'm like, they exist. Bring them.
Well, I'm the keeper of elves. They real too?
Right. Yes. Oh, that's cute. That's real cute. What y'all did, that whole getting married at a cathedral, that's really cute. Oh, y'all had a zombie wedding? That's real cute, D'Angelo Williams. That's real. You like The Walking Dead? That's cute. Bring out the drones. Stun on these hoes. Where's my green screen?
that's real cute. You know the place where Wonder Woman lives? Yeah, that's where we're having our wedding.
Give me Beyonce's wardrobe, people.
Yes!
There will be 7 changes of wardrobe during my wedding ceremony.
And it'll be an HBO special.
This is just a proposal. One New York City gay couple filmed their marriage proposal in Central Park with a drone orbiting from above. Sergio Zapata and Paul Margolin have been dating since 2015. See, it's only 2017, y'all. It's just 2017 just started. Bring out the drones. The fuck is next? Create a rainbow.
Yes!
They're
gonna say Roy G. Biv.
Right. Right. These dudes are like Ken dolls too. Look at this. Perfect chiseled men, just like, we about to make out and fucking, look, they playing pillow fights.
I mean, we can't see it.
Y'all can't see this?
No. At least I can't.
Oh, I don't even have it on screen. That's why. I'm just enjoying it for myself.
I know, I'm looking like, I don't see shit.
I know y'all sitting up there like, well, let me see the means.
Right.
Yeah, Sergio Zapata has like a Instagram, so they have pictures from their Instagram out here. And it says gym buddy. I guess this must have been earlier this year. But can y'all see it now?
Yes.
Yeah, you see these motherfuckers? Like,
how they all fit?
Right.
Look like they gotta be doing a CrossFit class. What's happening here?
Right, straight couples don't look like this.
Mm-mm.
We had one of the most beautiful women on earth, but she married a Jay-Z. That's how straight couples work. It don't work like two motherfucking, like if aliens came and we had to give them genetic specimens, we would give them these two dudes, and they like, let's marry each other. Mm-hmm. Then they have one where they pillow fighting in their underwear.
Oh, come on, dawg. Y'all the CrossFit teachers. Y'all the people that I be walking past the Y when they be in there rolling and they bike. I'm like, up and down. And come on, guys. One more mile.
I proposed in a library in jogging pants. Mm-hmm. These motherfuckers got a drone.
And I was fine with that.
That's because, you know why that was fine, Karen? Because it was before the gay people was getting married, and they were just stunting on our shit. They just your little shit right here, dog.
And we were college students too, so that's completely different.
They're like, nah, see, you should have waited till drones was invented, you stupid motherfucker.
Oh, we didn't even wait a long time then.
You was broke. Look at me, I'm rich.
Right. We were broke. Yeah, we were very broke.
Mm-mm. They stunning on us.
We were living on student salaries.
A 360 degree engagement story. No straight person.
360.
No straight person would have thought of this. Wouldn't even thought of it.
Next is gonna be a wedding story. 30 for 30.
Mm-hmm. I don't even know what the wedding gonna be like. The wedding gonna be ridiculous. Produced by LucasArts.
Ah, yes.
A Pixar wedding.
Yes, I would love a Pixar wedding.
Look at this shit, it's like the beginning of Up.
Uh-huh.
See, they got the drone flying around them at Central Park. Aww. I bet it's in 3D too. They produced this.
They produced the shit out of this.
See, this is why Republicans scared right here.
They like that cast of Hamilton swings. What?
Tired of getting stunted on. Oh, God. Oh, they on steps. They on the steps together.
Ah!
Waving at the drone. Look at them jealous straights over there to the left. Them jealous ass straights. Listen, I'm telling you, man. This is, I knew it was going to be a problem. I knew it. I told y'all. I said, they about to do this shit.
Always happen when we let the fabulous people in.
Right. Oh, let me guess. It's a lot of people out there like, I'm straight. I got engaged. It was fine. Was it in 360 degrees by a drone? No? No? No, it wasn't? Okay, well, then maybe it wasn't that fine. Yeah.
Did Marvel produce it? No?
Right. No? No? Okay. No. Okay, is it in 3D? Can I watch it on my HD? No? Okay. Mm-mm. Yeah.
Was it a surround sound? No? No?
Mm-mm. Just making us look bad. Well, this is what happens. Enjoy it while you can in Trump's America. You know, that's why they're trying to, that's why they're trying to get rid of it. All these men out here like, oh, Lord, I didn't even think of this. This motherfucker came down on unicorn-winged back Pegasus. Flew down from the heavens and got a ring made of pure sapphire. I didn't even think of this. Mm-mm. I just went to Jared's.
No, it's made with a dragon's tooth.
Right. Oh, well. All right. Let's get into some fucking with black people. Oh, fucking with black
that was
people.
Actually, I'm trying to find, that was actually very happy gay people news.
I mean, yeah. A lot of times, I mean, that's how it is for marginalized people. It's happy for them. It's just sad for the rest of us.
I'm not fuck with it all.
Yeah, it's terrible for the rest of us. I mean, well, Karen, y'all get proposed too, but you ain't never gonna get no drone proposal. I mean, the game is, I'm just saying, this is just the start. They only had 2 years and they came up with this. We ain't come up with this in thousands of years.
Yeah, that's true. And you know what? I don't know what's going to happen when they renew their vows. Oh, God.
Right. They're going to be skydive marriage. Before. I don't know what they're going to do. It's just going to be, I can't even conceive what they're going to do.
It's going to be like the Jetsons.
Right. Oh, these niggas getting married on the moon. Like, oh, why did I think of that? Oh, of course.
Yes.
Get Richard Branson, fly to the moon. It's so simple in hindsight. But you need to be already planning this for years because you're not allowed to, so you can take some chances. Buy a drone.
I know they're gonna be like, how the fuck did you get them explosions? Oh, Michael Bay did it.
Michael Bay produced our wedding. Anyway.
Yeah, Michael Bay produced my wedding. Fuck it.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be fun.
Mm-hmm. We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with fucking black people. That's right, guys. It's time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game where we go all around the globe. We find different articles, make us feel fucked with black people, and we rate them from 0 to 100 at intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. And no, I did not call Jay-Z ugly low-key. Okay, I said he's not as attractive as Beyonce, and y'all motherfucking know that's the truth.
Come on now.
True. That's what straight marriage looks like. We don't have a lot of, you know, specimens of just genuine, like if Beyonce was marrying The Rock, that's like, oh, yes, though they're gonna produce fucking superhero babies.
Right.
You know, that's how gay marriage looks. You're like, damn, look at these people. Should be modeling. All right, man. Let's go ahead and get into getting fucked with, okay? Everybody in the room spat in your Coke. Black celebrities tell their first experience with racism. Damn, everybody in the room spat in your Coke. Damn, what was you eating? Here are some of their stories. Van Jones.
At that moment, we were stopped.
Wait, hold on.
Because this police officer thought that my father was driving in a car.
Oh, okay. So this is all of them. Okay, it's about 4 minutes long. Let me put it on screen for y'all, because this is Montel Williams speaking at first. The thing that's interesting to me is some of these people had such horrible experiences and still kind of came away on some like, what does it really make a white person bad for being racist? Think about it. You know, but I think it's a self-preservation thing.
With a white woman and four kids that he didn't know from where, and wanted to make sure she wasn't white.
My earliest memory, one of my strongest memories, is when I was around 10. I remember being at school, fifth grade, playing.
This is Jason George.
Football. With a bunch of the kids, and in elementary school at least, I was one of the bigger kids. And so I tackled this one kid who was one of the smaller kids at the time. He was upset, maybe embarrassed, and he called me a nigger. I kind of blacked out. Honestly, remember nothing in the next few seconds. And by the time I actually remember what was going on, his face was really close to mine, and I realized that he was purple. And I realized that he was purple because my hands were around his neck, and he wasn't breathing. And suddenly I was freaked out. This kid made me lose control. This one word had complete and utter control over me in some way.
I had gone on a church retreat.
This is Sebastian Cole. And in that last one, I think that's one of the reasons a lot of black people have, like, when I say this about self-protection, when I was saying now some of these people, you'll see them talking, it like makes you mad because they're denying obvious things and they're giving people every benefit of the doubt. But I think to some extent some black people have chosen to kind of insulate themselves that way because you're in America, you're going to be around white spaces, especially if that's how you make your bread. You don't want to accept this idea of people are just racist and I'm gonna have to be fighting these motherfuckers my whole life and go back, and especially if it comes to losing control, like this man, like that's one of my biggest fears, is losing control. I don't like, I'm not as fearful of like somebody really doing something to me, to be honest. I just haven't had the kind of life where I've had been intimidated very often, but I do fear like my reaction to something, justify or not, and then coming back and feeling like I was out of control, like I didn't want that to be my reaction, you know.
With a friend of my mom's.
Oh, I'm sorry, this is Sebastian Cole.
And we go up to the church retreat, and it's like, you know, a cabin in the woods, and so people brought their, you know, the things for the weekend. Well, on the way out of the cabin, you know, we're taking out the things from the weekend, and one of the guys I was bunking with brought a small television. So I grabbed the TV to take to the bus. And no lie, someone called the police on me.
I moved to France in 1983. One morning I woke
up. This is Angelique Kidjo.
Cop, and I was going to school. I crossed my neighbor that was coming back from the pastry store. At one point we crossed path. And I say, bonjour. And then he freezes, just like looking at me like trying to escape, like I was just gonna stab him. And it was so shocking and so painful for me.
There was a young white girl sitting.
This is Van Jones.
Next to me, and she reached for the Coke can. And the guy said, no, don't drink that. Felt a little awkward, but drank my Coke and we kept talking. And then we got on the buses and we went. The young white girl started crying. And I asked her what was wrong. And she said, they told me later that everybody in the room spat in your Coke while you were outside. And that's why they didn't want me to drink out of that can. And I'm so sorry.
When I went to go visit my parents and...
Fuck. Man. Can't even imagine, dog. Can't even imagine. And Van Jones, one of the most even-tempered, like, never let them see you sweat type niggas, period. Like, just like, don't say the N word. I wear suits everywhere. Like, I'm like, just lives a life of trying not to quote unquote cause no problems and trying to speak reason to people that really are unreasonable. But it kind of, like, when you think about that kind of story and to have that in your origin story and still feel like you're not gonna give up hope on people, I don't know, boy. Woo.
Texas, and my grandfather's white, so we went to the...
I'm sorry, this is Jade Romaine.
...the grocery store one day, and this lady came over to us, and I was about seven, and she came over to us and looked down at me and said, oh, she's really beautiful, that's really nice of you to adopt her. And my grandfather is usually very calm and patient, but his face just turned red. And at that moment, I realized that me and my grandfather did not look alike.
I was 15 years old. I was in high school.
This is Kamau Bell.
School. And one afternoon, I was hanging out with my friend, Rob. At one point, we got split up. And as I was waiting for Rob to show up again, I decided, nope, I'm going to find him. And as I walked out, this man behind me said, excuse me, I need to talk to you. I turned around. It was a white guy, probably in his 30s. And he looked at me and said, I need to shirt your pockets. And I said, why? He said, I got a report that you took something. And I hadn't taken anything. And then I said to him, I know my rights, but I didn't really know my rights. So I let him search my pockets. I also thought if he searches my pockets, he'll realize there's nothing in there and he'll let me go on my way. But once he found out there was nothing in my pockets, it didn't deter him. And he grabbed me by the back of the coat and walked me downstairs and physically threw me out into the streets. And I was standing in front of the record store, sort of embarrassed and humiliated, even though I hadn't done anything. And I sat there starting to cry. It wasn't until that moment that I realized being black meant the exact same thing in the current era as it had meant throughout the history of this country, that at any point a white person could harass you for no good reason and you kind of would have to take it.
That's my whole point. And for me, this is why I'm very diligent and I stick to my guns when I tell white people, you put this racist son of a bitch in office. You did this. We did not do this. And I understand that what the color of my skin means. You might not understand what the color of my skin means. You might take the color of my skin for granted, because to you, the color of your skin is not constantly brought up in every day-to-day conversation. Our country is catered towards you. When white people walk out their doors, they don't have to worry about being harassed. They don't have to worry about being shot. You know, white women don't have to worry about wearing their hair natural and somebody asking, do you have good hair? They don't have to worry about putting their hands in your hair. A lot of this stems back to slavery and white people thinking that they didn't motherfucking own you. That is entrenched in this country, and white people will forever think that they own you. And this goes back to how, in my personal opinion, how Donald Trump got in office, because it's a big middle finger. Y'all niggas thought y'all had your freedom. We gonna show you that you don't, and we still got them on you. And until other white people that are quote unquote not racist stands up and say, we're not gonna take this shit and make these other white people ashamed, I look at you all the same. You are all racist to me. And that's something that, you know, when you say that, people go, why is it such a sweeping statement? And on an individual basis, I know a lot of white people. They're beautiful. We have relationships. We grow these relationships. They're beautiful. But as a collective, as a whole, no, I do not trust you, and I never will, because over and over again, you've disappointed me. You've let me down over and over again. You let racist shit slide. Every time somebody brings racist shit up, it's always an excuse. You know, and it's one of those things where I'm to the point where I am, put like this, the older I get, the less compassion I have, which, and I might need to analyze my heart, because the older I get, the less patience I have with people and their stupidity when it comes to racism. I'm like, motherfucker, no, we're not going to deal with this. And like I said before, when me and you, Nick Jew, was talking, the anger in me is always there, and it's real. It's like a real flame inside of me that, you know, that I have to constantly watch and constantly monitor all the time, you know, because yes, I laugh, yes, I joke, but that flame is real. And it's one of the things where, like he said, it one of the things where in our country, put it like this, being black, when a white person looks at you, we have no idea what you're thinking about us. We don't know if you want to kill us. We don't know, because y'all don't, it's not a name tag. You don't have a name tag. You don't have a yes, I'm a safe white person tag.
So maybe they should wear safety pins. Then you could tell.
I don't give a fuck about your safety pins. Just be better human beings. That's what it is. Be better human beings. And the thing is, for me personally, it is very frustrating and it's very irritating. You know, when you look around in situations, particularly when you're the only black person around, you know, you wonder, am I safe? You know, that's something white people don't have to worry about. When you walk at your door, you never have to worry about if are you safe. Even if you're a poor white person, you never have to worry about, am I safe? Am I going to get back home? When I send my child to school today, will my child come back home to me? You know, and I mean,
and when they do worry about that shit, it's irrational because they worry about, like, are black people going to rape my daughter tonight? Are they going to kill me? And then they make laws and shit designed around the irrational fears they have of shit like Muslims and shit like this. And they use those laws to oppress people. Like this, like their fear is a weapon compared to our fear, which is we need to survive. Like,
right.
And it's amazing the difference, you know?
And to me, there's a huge disconnect with a lot of things. And white people deal with things and white people go through things. But the way our country is set up, you only deal with so much. Black people go through things, and the things we have to go through is on a completely different level. And I think that sometimes if people that are in a place of privilege, when you don't have to consider certain things, you don't have to think about certain things, you let stuff slide. Like for most white people, you have a family member, a friend, a loved one, your husband, your wife, is somebody around that you know voted for motherfucking Trump. You know this, you know, but you know what? Black people know that. So that's why we go, no. I just don't know. And I know racism is everywhere, particularly, you know, being down here in the South. I don't know what white person is a member of the KKK. I don't know this. I don't know, you know, what, you know, white person might just be angry at me just for the color of my skin. I do not know this. And that's a true fear. That's a real fear that I personally have. You know, you get in a car wreck, you go, okay, I hope this is civilized when this person got the car, or are they going to jump out and it's going to be a whole ordeal? Mm-hmm. You know, like, you just don't know, you know. And the thing is, there are good white people in this world that fight, that are out there in the street, they're diligent. My thing is that I wish there were more, because if there were more, I feel as though Donald Trump would have never became president. If there were more people, more white people that actually cared, more white people that were actually concerned, more white people that thought outside of themselves, more white people that considered marginalized groups, more white people that actually had black friends, more white people, I mean, black friends other than your coworkers, other than bypassers, other than, you know, like you had intimate relationships. You would realize that black people are people too, and brown people in general, and marginalized people, LGBTQ and transgender people, they're people too, but a lot of times you can be isolated in these boxes in the middle of bumblefuck nowhere where the population is 90% white, but yet you claim about crime and all of these other things that are very, very unrealistic, you know. But when it comes to black people, and our fear, like you said, different than fears, our fears are that the basic, you know. I don't give a fuck about ISIS when I'm liable to get shot by the police, you know. I don't give a fuck, you know, about a lot of the pity patty shit that, you know, makes white people go when I'm like, you know, can I eat today? You know, will my family members eat today? You know, the I can say it, the levels of emergency is very different. Most of the things that happen to us is life and death. You know, literally life and death. It's like when I'm in front of a white person in certain situations, you have to constantly say, if I respond wrong, will I die? You know, if I don't respond in the right way or in the right manner, or if I do anything to make this white person feel intimidated by me, if I do anything to make them feel uncomfortable, are they going to call the cops? Will they put the law in their own hands? And you know, we got to know the law. This is an open fucking carry state. Like, those are the things that cross your mind. And then people wonder why. You know, when you at work, you go, well, if these are people are good people, but you don't realize the rage inside of people, and you don't realize that a lot of people literally go to work with a work voice, with a work posture, with a work attitude. Like,
I don't think everybody realizes that, right? Because everybody does it.
White people don't, for some reason. They're oblivious to that.
White people do it too, is what I'm saying. Like, there's a lot of people that work with racist people that don't know they work with racist people.
Correct.
Like, that's kind of the fear you're talking about, is that you don't know which white people. That's because they have that shit where it's just their shit is different. It's a weapon. Like, white people's anger typically is not justified. You know, there's white people that have start hate groups that don't live around any black people. Like, black people haven't made their life harder in any measurable way, yet they hate black people. You know, there's people that voted for Trump, but they smile in your face at work. You know, like, They just think it's just a difference of opinion or whatever. Like, they got a work voice too. You know, the difference is when, like you said, in these interactions, these weren't even life and death interactions for the most part, but look at how the weight that we carry with us throughout life. Cause it's not like these are all the first time. All these stories are the first time you really realize like what this blackness shit is in this country. And when you wake up to that, you carry that forever, dog. You're like, you can't go back to sleep. You know, right. You can only you can only choose how you're going to cope with it, how you're going to deal with it. You know, that's why I said about Van Jones. I know a lot of people like to shit on Van Jones and call him all kinds of shit. Mm-hmm. But this is Van Jones' way of coping. It's trying to have this unrelenting hope. I don't know where it really comes from. I can't really relate to it, to be honest, but he has an unending way of just like thinking he can make this work. You know what I mean? Like, that his life is going to be spent educating these people and showing these people that their slings and arrows won't hurt him. That, like, that's his way of adjusting to it.
Yeah,
you know, there's people that, you know, are militant and they're just like, fuck white people, fuck the whole country, fuck our fuck capitalism, fuck everything, burn this bitch to the ground. That's a coping method too, because at the same time, that's not realistic. Like, that's not going to happen in your lifetime either. Maybe you can be the one that sparks the fire, but we don't even have an example of something that was built like ours and just changed with this many people and shit. Like, it's, you know, with a history founded on racism and slavery, like, we just don't have necessarily the same examples, but that's what people want, you know? So, you know, for me anyway, a lot of this shit is coping methods. So seeing these people talk about it is just kind of interesting, you know? And then some of them, you know, seem like it didn't happen to them until later in life that they kind of realized this shit. Like, maybe they didn't get talked about this shit at home, you know?
Yeah, and the older I get, the more I realize when it comes to... People say blackness is not a monolith, but they don't really mean it. A lot of people speaking from their own experience, and they feel like if you have not experienced my experience and we're not like-minded, a lot of black people have a tendency to want to dismiss people, even though you're black. And I've learned how to...
I mean, it's difficult.
Right.
Because, I mean, there's some shit that's just anti-black, and I don't give a fuck whose mouth it's coming out of.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't care that Sage Steele's coping method is anti-blackness. I don't care. It's wrong, so we can't be cool. You know what I mean? Like, if your coping method is, well, if you think about it, black people ain't shit, okay, well then we're not ever gonna be friends. It's just, I refuse to accept that. You know, people talk about these bubbles, you know, and these liberal bubbles and this bubble. Let me tell you about the bubble though. With the bubble shit, people always use it as an excuse of like, because people aren't talking to each other in these bubbles, they're not talking to each other, they're not having conversations. That is the biggest crock of shit. Cause in my bubble, I'm always having conversations and I'm always learning some shit and I'm learning from people. You know who's all in my bubble? I got your LGBTQ people. I have Muslim people. I have black and brown people from all over the world. I have people that are, you know, I have women. I have people like so many different variations of people that inform my life through their stories and through their words and through the conversations that we had, that things I never would have considered or known about any other way than to talk to these people. And yet we call that a bubble. But then when we look at the other bubble, what's the other bubble? White people. That's it. There's no, the other bubble is only white people. It's just white supremacy is a bubble. And we're supposed to feel like we're doing the same things with these bubbles. Like, why, bubbles are bad. No, they're not. One is an inclusive environment where people are trying to learn and better themselves. And one is a bubble of, we hate anything not white male. How do we eradicate them? Fuck you. That ain't the same. It ain't the same to me. You know, so to me, when I hear these stories or whatever, it fucks with me, obviously, 100, because we all have our story where we're like, yeah, and that's what being black in America is too.
Yeah.
We all can have a story where we're like, and I remember the time when I went, damn, this is only happening to me because I'm black.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we're supposed to just get over it. While white people don't have these stories. You know what I mean? White people have, I was a white guy at a basketball court or some shit, right? You know? Right.
And it's one of those things where is the white people's story? This is the first time I realized I was white.
Right.
Where's that story? You know? And it's one of those things, I think for me, and I think I might have even been too young to understand at the time, but I think it was me and one of my aunts. We was at like a drugstore or something. And I don't know what the man did, but whatever he did, it was racist, because my aunt went smack off. She cussed that man smack out. And I was a child. I was like, well, I don't understand. You know, he was mad, you know, before my concept of racism came in. And, you know, as I got older, I went back, I was like, oh, he did some racist shit. That's why she, because as a child, I was embarrassed. I was like, she's showing her ass. I was like, you know, I don't understand, you know, what's going on, because I was a smaller child.
Right.
But, and that impacts kids, too.
I mean, I've had moments where, like, I don't have a singular story. I have a bunch of shit. But I just remember, especially being a black boy, feeling, like, somewhat criminalized from a very young age, like, where the impetus was to, where the onus was put on me to separate myself from the other black kids or just be treated like them. So it was like, you know, you have to get, if you're not getting good grades, then how do we put you into a different class? You know, like, as opposed to, like, for example, I had a teacher where I got a, bad grade on a spelling test, and I'm left-handed, and the test had to be in cursive, right? I was just learning cursive. I got a bad grade and went home. My mom was like, why are you failing spelling and shit? My dad's like, what is this? I showed him the test. He's like, all these words are spelled right. Every last one of these words are spelled right, because I'm smart. I know how to spell. And we had to go back up to school, and he basically had to tell her, like, look, you're not gonna fail my son when he's spelling the shit right, and you too lazy to read it. Because she was basically like, well, I can't read it. What is this? And I'm just looking, you know, and it's just like, that's pizzas, P-I-Z-Z-A. Well, what about this? And like, I'm just going down, telling her what it is. So essentially she was willing to fail me.
Mm-hmm.
Fail
that
me.
Happens to a lot of children.
No, like, and I told, and keep in mind, I told her this when I got, I was like, no, this is right. And she's like, no, it's wrong. And sent me home with a note to my parents. Like, she thought I was stupid. I was one of the fucking smartest kids in that class. You know, I had another time when I was in like third grade where, there was this girl that I liked. We were on the playground and we were walking towards each other. Like, she was with a group of girls and I was with a cousin or somebody. And I like bumped into her. Cause I'm such a dumbass kid. In my mind, I was thinking like, I'll bump into her and then like, it'll be like TV when you drop your books and help each other up. And instead it was like, watch where you going. I was like, oh shit. I did not mean that did not go how I thought it would go. But obviously, you know, I immediately embarrassed, felt bad. It was, you know, I was only in like third grade, maybe. It was such a stupid ass plan. I don't know why I thought that shit would work. Anyway, so, the teacher saw it. And the teacher was like, I know you grabbed her vagina and you need to come sit over here.
What?
Yes. And I was like, but I didn't. And I was crying because I didn't. I was so young. I didn't, keep in mind, I played with Transformers and shit till I was 15, y'all. I didn't know shit about sex at that age on any level.
Right.
Like, I didn't know anything. I didn't even know we had different shit in our pants at that level. Like, I was like, for some reason, they make us go to a different bathroom. Like, it never crossed my mind. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, I guess they urinals must be, I don't know, different or something. Well, like,
made a gold, I don't know.
Yeah, like, it was just some shit I never would have thought about in a million years, but she was convinced. And part of the reason I think she was convinced, because she's like, these little black boys out here trying to be fast and shit, you know, it's a white woman. Like, I'm sure she was convinced that part of that was like, I'm hypersexual or something. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, I'm like one of the smartest kids in her class. I'm one of the fucking geekiest, nerdiest kids in her class. Like, I'm not cool at any level. You ain't never seen me flirt with a girl, let alone fucking try to touch one.
You know, you miss all the cues.
Yeah, I'm still in the, like, do girls have cooties or not age? And she was like, this nigga a sexual deviant. Like, I do think that stuff, like, affects us our whole lives. And when you think about it, you have those moments. And when you hear other people talk about it, it makes you think about the shit that you've dealt with. When you're like, yo, I was just being a kid, or I was just hanging out at the mall, or I was just whatever. And it turned into an incident where you're like, oh, that happened to me because I'm black. You know? So I think that's why it bothers people. But anyway, yeah, 100 for me. Mm-hmm. Let me actually go to the next session before we go to the next article. Give me one second, guys. Be right back. All right, prepare to go live. Call y'all to the session, of course. Can't have a session without y'all.
True.
And I'm going live, and I'm going to invite you back on.
Okay.
As soon as I see people get in here. Okay. Oh, wait. It says no active. Oh, did I call y'all?
Mm-mm, you didn't.
Okay, now I called y'all.
Okay.
And then I'll...
there you go. We're moving now.
Okay, cool. Now I'll invite y'all back on screen when I see you get in there. There you go. But yeah, it was... like, I'm convinced. Like, it took years for me to realize that, because I was like, I don't know why a teacher would think something, but then I'm like, oh, black kid. You know? And it was... I mean, it was like... Like I said, my whole life, it felt like
I... My whole life, it felt like I...
I don't... Okay. Yeah, I'm
okay.
On the screen now.
Okay, yeah. But my whole life felt like a lot of people expected me to, like, separate myself from the other black kids. But I had a black-ass neighborhood, black-ass school bus. All my friends, for the most part, was black. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to some extent, I kind of would get lumped in with this idea, like, these stupid black kids, or is this nigga in a gang? Is this, you know, that kind of stupid shit where I'm like, you only think that because I'm black. Like, white kids can hang out with white kids and you don't think it's a fucking gang of white kids, you know? But it was definitely a thing that, you know, for me, it's like, I make a joke in class. I remember one time I got sent to the fucking principal's office for a joke. We used to have kids that would come in there and make fucking all kinds of, white kids make all kinds of jokes, disrupt the class. I made a joke one time, with a, I think she said, use breast in a sentence or something, use something in a sentence. And I use, I was like, it was like something, feel the breast or something. And she was like, who wrote this? And I was like, it was me. And she was like, I knew it. Go to the office. And I was like, it was chicken breast. She was like, I don't care. Get out. And I was like, okay. You know, but it was just like a different attitude, as opposed to like if Taylor would have did it, it would have been like, oh, Taylor, you play too much and shit like that. So it was definitely something I picked up early. But at the same time, every black person lives through that, you know. And then you also live with white people refusing to acknowledge it, or thinking that it should have no effect, or it's all made up, or always giving the benefit of the doubt to the people involved. Like, it's just, you just think you're a victim, you know? Anyway.
Yeah, and you happen to be in a very blessed situation where your parents was like, oh, no, the hell you won't.
If I'm not for my parents coming up to school, I would have just probably been some kid in either special needs or the just, you know, the regular curriculum or whatever, you know, or I would have had a year, because that's like, those formative years are the years that send you down one pipeline or the other.
Yes, sir.
And so, and who knows how many other black kids are in this shit, you know. Now, part of that, not being funny, and I'm not trying to make a joke, part of that was left hand bias, like, right. It was because I was left handed. Cursive is basically a language designed for right-handed people. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting in a fucking right-handed desk with a right-handed notepad, and I'm writing a fucking cursive language that's designed for people with right hands. And then you sitting up here talking about, well, it doesn't look correct to me. I told, this is what we had to come to the agreement of. Let me not do cursive then. Cause it's a useless right. skill. And yep, when I didn't, so I had to write it in cursive and then write the fucking right word next to it. Like in regular English, and that's how I would have my shit graded, and of course I would get hundreds and 90s and 80s and 90s and shit every fucking time, because I was smart and I knew my shit and I studied and I got it right. It wasn't a matter of being stupid. It was a matter of the fact that in her mind, I didn't deserve any more like level of scrutiny than that. It was just, obviously you're stupid like the other black kids. Let's put you in a different class. Let's give you an F. That was all it was to it. And like I said, if my parents hadn't come up there and fought for it, or like you said, I mean, if they hadn't come up and fought for it, who knows what the fuck would have happened.
Right.
I would have probably been in the stupid class for the rest of my fucking school career.
Right, because the thing is, let's just keep this real. For a lot of brown people and marginalized groups, a lot of parents work 2 and 3 jobs, particularly single parents.
Yeah.
A lot of them ain't got time to be taking time off one of their jobs to go up to the school for some bullshit.
Even, know. Here's the thing though, I'm sorry to cut you off. Mm-hmm. Even white people have issues like that.
Yes, they do.
It's just they can trust the people they put in the school. That's the difference. White people come from fucking broken homes, divorced families, mm-hmm. single moms, single dads. They have all the shit we have. They got poor white folks that work 2 and 3 jobs. But when they send their kid to a school, especially with a lot of white female teachers, they can trust that they see their children as students and pupils to be educated, right. not students and pupils to be funneled into other classes and out of theirs so that they can just corral them like a daycare for 8 hours a day. That's the difference.
Right. And that's why... when it comes, and it's sad, but the way the system is set up, when it comes to black people, it's like, why do I have to show my ass for you to treat my child right? Why do I have to schedule time off work to come up here and cuss you motherfuckers out? Why do I have to go to the school board? Why do I have to stand before the, you know, the city council, because you know there's some fucked up shit to my child? Because even more, and it didn't bother me, but even more than that, when you talking about that separation,
mm-hmm.
that separation is real, because I wasn't in the smart children's class. So you have a bunch of white kids and a very small percent, I can't speak for everybody else, but a very small percentage of black students that are literally plucked up out and sent separate. So then you have everybody else that's considered dumb in these other classes. And it do, and I can speak from a child that, you know, didn't ace everything. You know, I made the honor roll every now and then, but I was basically, now college was nothing. I was basically like your average student. So for me, it was like, I can't hang with my friend. I can't hang with my buddy, you know, and because I'm not a jealous person, it strikes jealousy in children. And a lot of times children begin to attack those children. Like, you think you're smart. You think you special. You've been picked and all that.
Well, you know
what's
funny though? I'm telling you from the other side, I did have the experience of being a smart kid. They didn't treat me like that. Now, and I don't think they really do treat very many smart kids like that. And, I mean,
I think
that's something that people put out there to make it seem like, well, smart black kids get treated like shit. No, we don't. You know, we just did a whole study on that just, what, 2 weeks ago? Like, for the most part, that's not how it goes down. Like, it's not even the jealousy and the we won't be friends and shit. For the most part, when you're in class, you're in class. Like, the socializing shit happens outside of class, to be honest, right? Like, let's talk about honor school, like your honors courses. I had basically 3 to 4 honors courses at any given time, right? You have your honors English, mm-hmm. honors math, honors science, mm-hmm. Honors maybe history, depending on.
Right.
And you don't always place in all of those. So some people are only in 1 or 2. Some people in all of them and all that shit. So even in that curriculum, in the same school, I get on the same bus as these other niggas.
Right.
I sit at the same cafeteria table as these other niggas. I do, like, I did everything else. I, when I go to gym, ain't no honors gym. I'm just taking gym with regular kids. Like, so it wasn't about socializing out. The problem is socializing us down. Like, how, what, I don't look at myself and go, well, I was one of the few black kids in these classes. Therefore I must be special because the rest of these people are white and Asian and shit. No, what I think is the opposite. How many smart black kids are in these other classes that shouldn't be? You're smart. True. You're smart. You're smarter than me. Like, you got, you're more disciplined than me. You study more than me. Yeah. You take it more serious than me.
I do.
And you stay focused and you got better grades than me. You got better grades than me in college too. Mm-hmm. It's just nobody had really approached you like, you're smart. You can do this.
Right. Yeah.
Like when, yeah. You know, when we started dating, I was like, well, yeah, you can go to college. You were talking about just getting out of high school and getting a job. I was like, no, you should go to college too. You're just as fucking smart as me, if not smarter. Like, if I can go to college, you can go to college.
Yeah. And truth be told, everybody comes from different backgrounds, but when it came to education, it really wasn't pushed and forced. Now, you have some black parents and it doesn't matter their level of education. But their thing is like, you will go to college.
A lot of people want their kids to do better than they did, right. No matter what, right? But my point is, if they don't see it as a realistic goal, then they like, why waste your time?
Right.
But you, and you were ward of state, so they were gonna pay for you to go to college.
Correct.
So it made no sense for you to not want to go to college. It was free, essentially.
Yes.
So it's like, you, if I'm going to college, you going to college. I remember I picked a state school with my scholarship. Part, you know, I went to a HBCU, but part of the reason I went to that HBCU is because it wasn't a private HBCU, and that meant you could come the next year.
Right.
So even back then, it was more about ability and believing in yourself, which we don't get a lot.
Right.
Like, you have the ability, but you don't have the people. And by people, I'm not talking about your parents. I'm talking about your teachers. I'm talking about, like, a child is bigger than the influence of just their parents.
Right.
Like, we put so much on parents when things go wrong, it's always just the parents' fault. But we don't look at the fact that when you go to school, if you go to school where you get disciplined harder than other students, where your creativity is seen as a negative.
Right.
You know, where your sense of humor is seen as troublemaking. Like, it changes everything for that student. And yet we know these biases exist, and yet we still put all this pressure on these kids like it's their fault or it's their parents' fault, while we're sending them into a rigged system. The jig of all this shit is, I could get a C in an AP class and it counts as an A.
Right.
You get an A in your class and that counts as an A. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So like, even, I remember when I was going to school, like, to, you know, going on all these campus recruiting visits, and, you know, they'd be like, oh, what's your GPA? And I'd be like, oh, it's a 4.0 so-and-so. What? How'd you get over 4.0? Well, it's a weighted GPA. I mean, pretty much every class, four of my classes every semester had a weighted GPA.
Right.
So if I got a B or a C or something, I'm getting these extra points.
Right.
So, and if I get an A, you know, I'm getting shit. 6.0, six right.
Right.
So when it came to stuff like valedictorian,
mm-hmm.
the only people that really could get considered for valedictorian were those AP people,
right?
You know, cause your weighted GPA typically is what gets measured. Like, some schools do the weighted and unweighted or whatever, but obviously that's almost unfair cause you're in the AP class and your unweighted GPA, you know, like, maybe it'll be a little bit lower, but it doesn't make you not as smart as these other students or whatever.
Correct.
But the point being, all this shit was decided so long ago. You were smarter than me. They never bumped you up to AP. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, no.
And keep in mind, I had semesters where I didn't do well. They never moved me down.
True.
Like it's like, once the path is decided, you're stuck there, basically. You have to completely change the whole game to get the fuck out, right? Like, and for me, it was like, I had moments of shit that people would really impress people, but I've never been the disciplined type of person you are. So I would have, like, we took the Ajashmi test and I placed one of the highest people in Charlotte, right? Like, I went to a pancake breakfast with the mayor and shit.
Right.
Cause it's like such a hard scientific test and math, like, it's just so, it's fucking beyond. I couldn't pass that test if I took it today,
right.
But I was able to just kind of look at it and navigate some of the meaning. Okay, this is what this must mean. Boom. And you know, or I would write a paper or give a speech or write a poem. Like, I had moments where it was like, this kid must be really smart. But on a day-to-day, I wasn't as disciplined as I would have liked or needed to be to truly be my best self, right?
Right.
I was actually more creative, smart creatively than smart, like,
right.
Do your thing. Like, and you're more like, give me the steps, I'll have the steps done at a 99% rate every fucking time.
Correct.
With getting them all right, right? So mm-hmm. What I'm saying is, I at some point with my performance, it would have made sense to knock me back down, to be like, this shit didn't work. Like, I went to magnet school at Harding.
Yes.
I've damn near failed out of magnet school because it was new school, new environment, different pressures, didn't know anybody, hung out with some of the wrong kids a little bit, couldn't focus on my classes. It was just too much.
I met John.
Yeah, that's why I met John. But it was just too much change. Right. Honestly, it was too much change for me. And not enough discipline from the outside, because I wasn't disciplined enough myself.
Right.
So and like I said, I was a smart kid, but I was like writing in my rap book, writing rhymes all day in the middle of class, because I was smart enough to get a B or a C in that class, right, while also thinking I was writing some hot five rhymes or whatever, right? but my point being, I failed and came back.
Yeah.
And when I came back to middle school, because at the time it was a little different, but when mm-hmm. I came back my senior year in middle school, my ninth grade year or whatever, I was in normal classes again. And of course I got A's all throughout, because it was easy to me. Mm-hmm. And once it got back to, it was like, this is easy. I don't even have to study for this shit.
Right.
I already know all this shit. Even when we went to Olympic my first semester, they tried to put me in normal classes again. Got A's. My teacher was like, how fucking smart is this kid? Because I was taking, because they didn't know I had failed out of biology, or almost failed out of biology at Hardin.
Right.
But the thing was, I was paying attention. I just couldn't focus. Right. It was too much change. So I was having terrible adjusting, but I never didn't pay attention.
Right.
So when I took biology again in ninth grade, I was doing so good. They were like, okay, let's move him out. You're taking physics now. So now I'm not taking biology anymore. I'm taking physics one and physics two for my last couple of years. All that to say, it was more about the fact that I had been AP before.
Yeah.
It wasn't like they said, like, there are other kids that were getting A's in that class. Why didn't they look at them kids and say, you should move up? Why was I the only one? They make these decisions at such a young age. So to bring it full circle back to what we started this with, when you hear these people talking about their first experience with race,
mm-hmm.
there is so much riding on the line.
Yes, it is.
And that's something, an awareness and impact in your life you live with for the rest of your life. You know, like, who knows what kind of brilliance is just in our jails, in our graveyards, in our projects? Who knows? We'll never know.
Right. Because a lot of times when these situations happen to children, they have to have an outlet. They have to have somebody to talk to, somebody to discuss about their feelings and their emotions and what they're dealing with. Because the thing is, support groups matter. Because I know for me personally, support groups matter for me. Because I can truly say, if it wasn't for your mom and your dad and you like pushing me, I wouldn't have went to college. Like, I remember, senior year, I hadn't took the SAT. Your mama sat down and she was like, well, go ahead and take the SAT twice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one time this semester, one time next semester. She said, apply to college. She was saying, because I was like, well, because your mom was doing hair at the time. I was like, well, I do hair like you. And she was like, you go to school. If you don't like it, and come back. She said, and we'll talk from there.
Right.
She said, but give college a try. And then we can make a decision from there.
Right.
And I said, okay. And it was the best decision that I could say I ever made. Because the thing is, 17 and 18 year olds, you're making decisions at that age with the mind frame sometimes of a child,
right,
that can affect you for the rest of your life. And you do not understand how your life could go one way or another based off of the decisions at that age.
You only know what you know.
Right.
So it's around the people around you to help, right? And yes. So with black kids, we're really asking people outside the school system to help, because the people in the school system, in a lot of cases, simply do not see our children the same way that they see the children of white people.
Right.
You know, and that shit matters, because it might be the scholarship that you, or the grant that you asked me to try. It might be the program that you think I should enroll in. And it's that kind of things, and that nepotism and shit that passes down for your life. Going to college by itself, when you graduate college, you have a different opportunity when you got to get jobs. You meet different people in college that you wouldn't have met if you didn't go to college.
That is true.
There's just so many, like, pitfalls and so many holes. And instead of us saying, let's change society, we go, let's make our children perfect. And that's such an unrealistic thing. No black person is perfect. We shouldn't have to expect perfection from black kids in order, like, that's ultimately where, in a lot of cases, I move against a lot of, like, the black respectability type people, because I'm like, no, we don't ask this of other people.
No,
that's,
we don't.
True equality isn't us saying, put on a suit and pull your pants up. True equality should be, you wear skinny jeans, this white kid wears skinny jeans, but whoever's smarter in the classroom, that's the person that has the brightest path to success. And we don't really have that yet, so we end up in these discussions where we're just asking black kids to be perfect and never make any ruffles and, you know, that kind of shit. So that's, I think that's a big difference, you know.
Yeah. And also, I think for me, the environment that a child's in makes a difference too. And I think when you don't have an environment that kind of pushes you to do those things, I think my biggest thing, because I tell people, as weird as this may sound, I learned how to read because I didn't want to be dumb, not because I loved and enjoyed reading, you know, because sometimes I look at how, like, how your mama had y'all reading, how she constantly has Layla reading, like, that was not emphasized in my house, so I didn't really understand the importance of actually reading until I got older. And also, I think for me, particularly in college, the reason why I was so dedicated, because I was like, I'm not dumb, and I'm gonna prove to everybody that I'm not dumb. I can comprehend, and I'm bright, and I'm smart. But that had to come from within, and it took a long time to get there, and some children never get there.
Right. Well, you don't know what you don't know.
That's true.
That's why, you know, like, if you, and that goes for the parents and shit too, you know.
Right.
Like, you don't know what you don't know. Like, I had a long discussion one time with a good friend of mine. He's a white dude, but we had a long ass discussion one time because he was on some, like, well, why don't they just go to college? And why don't they just do this? And why don't they just get a job that way and do this? And I said, dog, you don't even understand your own privilege. So you can't, like, you're going to think that I'm trying to say that you didn't work for what you got. Like, I was telling him this ahead of the discussion. Like, I'm like, I'm about to tell you some real shit, but let me tell you how you're going to react before it happens.
Right.
Which is one of the reasons I don't often talk to people about certain shit.
Right.
But I was like, I know how you're gonna feel. I'm just telling you now. Cause I've had this discussion before and I know how white people act. But here's the truth. If I don't know, I don't fucking know.
Right.
So if you say go down here and find out what scholarships they offer, okay, do I know which person to talk to? Do I know which location to go to? Do I know? Well, you had the internet. Do I have access to the internet all the time? Do I have to go to the library to get internet? Do I have to get internet at the school? Do they let me in? You know what I mean? Like, what site do I go to? Do I know what site to go to? Do I know what to Google? Do I? And then also, let's talk about my life information, right? My life. Fuck the internet. Let's just talk about my life. Have I learned that I'm a valuable person and I should go do these things? Is there any reason I should see myself successful? Because the thing that I see the most is typically the thing that I do. That's one of the reasons that, you know, generational knowledge and shit can just be so helpful. You know, things where white people have always had things, so they know about property. They know things
right.
about buying a house. They know 401ks. Things about investing. They know things, but that's because it's generational. You've had hundreds of years of generations to pass this knowledge down.
Right.
So you've seen someone buy a house.
Yeah.
You've seen it. You may have lived in the house that was bought from that. Your affirmation that you receive from seeing these things is knowledge that you have without knowing it, without earning it.
Right.
You just were around. You know what I mean? And we try to pass that stuff down to our children, but then at the same time in this environment, even that passed down knowledge, you still have racism going on. It didn't stop.
No, it did
so
not.
So you still have people that are like, well, why don't you just do this? Because I mean, what reason do I have to expect, even if I do everything right, that I'll be treated fairly?
Come on.
What reason do I have to expect that? And that's a more realistic response, and that's a human response. A lot of white people can't relate to it because they can't see it happening to them. To be honest, right. They like, if I put in the work, I should get a thing I earned. You're right. But what if you saw everyone put in the work and they didn't get what they earned? Would you still feel that way? Would you still feel like people get what they earn? Or would you go, why the fuck am I trying that? I'd rather sell drugs. I seen niggas get cars. I seen niggas get money and girls. Like, why not just do the thing that I've seen be successful rather than reach for the thing that I've never seen be successful? You know, that's why it mattered to a lot of people with children that we had like a black first lady, a black president, a black, right. Like that shit mattered because it's just something to see for your kids to be like, oh, this is a thing that I grew up with that seems normal to me. I can do this, as opposed to the way I grew up, which went, and though it seems heaven sent, we ain't ready to have a black president. Like, that's how I grew up. Like, that'll never happen. Not a million years. So that shit matters, you know, at your job, you as an adult, it matters. Who's in the offices, who's in the corner office, who's in the positions when it comes to making decisions at your company. White people see themselves as upwardly mobile because they are upwardly mobile. The people above them are not only white. Who sees themselves as a CEO of a company? Well, mostly in America, mostly white dudes, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's a reason people aspire to certain shit is because it seems reasonable and feasible. It seems attainable.
Right.
That's what it's about. Black people still being the first things. Come on. We still got a lot of first
and second generations of shit, right?
Yeah, it's not normalized yet. So that's one of the reasons that, you know, shit gets, you know, this shit matters when you get presented with race as a child, and now you have to take on this mantle for the rest of your fucking life. All right, we talked way too long about that. I'm not gonna get to the other fucking with black people, but 100, obviously.
Oh yeah.
All right, let me move into what time is it? 8. All right, how long we been going? Almost 2 hours. All right, I guess we can do some white people news. Find a white people song. Let's see. Take your time, Spotify. here you guys go. These white people. First of all, I gotta start off with Dasha Man. Boy, I swear, every day.
Ah!
You think this segment would get tired and eventually there wouldn't be anything to talk about, but nope. Emily Ratajkowski defends Melania Trump against slut shaming from a reporter. Supermodel Emily Ratajkowski, supermodel Emily Ratajkowski is now a newfound ally for Melania Trump. She blasted an unnamed New York Times reporter for calling Trump a hooker, saying differing politics never calls for disrespecting women. Whatever your politics, it's crucial to call this out for what it is. Slut shaver, she tweeted. Sat next to a journalist from the New York Times last night who told me Melania is a hooker. Whatever your politics, it's crucial to call this out. What it is, slut shaming. I don't care about her news or sexual history, and no one should. Gender-specific attacks are disgusting, sexist, and bullshit. She's right. And here's more importantly why you guys need to, why people in general, I don't know if you guys do it or not. I know some of y'all do from just Facebook and shit. Yeah, the reason I don't do this, and I think it's kind of whack to do this with Melania Trump, it's because it gives people cover to side with them and hide the fact that it's really about that they ideally disagree with you on, like, fundamental shit, like, I don't know, your humanity. Right. And I'd much rather talk about that. So you ain't got to worry about me calling her a hooker or a whore or a bitch or a slut or whatever.
Yeah.
That, cause they're just gonna give people that pretend to play the fence that's like, now I can side against you. And that's really the problem. You guys are so mean. And it's like, what the fuck? Like, how are we talking about this? My infraction is not nearly as bad as, I don't know, trying to keep all Muslims from coming in the country. Like, I think that's worse. Yes, but, you know, the slut shaming, I think we can all agree that. And they love doing that. And for all I know, Emily Ratajkowski could agree with every single political stance Melania Trump has and Donald Trump has. And now this is her reason to be like, nope, I side with the Trumps because you guys slut shame. And you know what, dog? I really would rather not even waste time on that shit. That's why I don't do it. And I wish other people would stop doing it, because it's really, I know people want to be petty. They want to be like, well, this is what happened to the Obamas and shit. Like, you know, there's still, does Donald Trump's son have Down syndrome? Yo, really? It don't matter.
No, it doesn't.
Because his fucking policies are killing people. Like, what about that, though? You know, did he say Heavy D in his tweet? Let's talk about that. It's like, damn, man, stay
on topic. Like,
just keep about the shit that matters. Keep spreading that information. Because there's so much shit that he's doing that is mattered and fucks up people. And it should be talked about, but instead it's, should you make a joke about his son being a fucking serial killer? So it's just like, man, I don't care about that shit. If somebody said yes, cause to me on Twitter, when I said this last night, well, yes, cause it's even more important that we, respect women and do, that's not what I'm saying at all. It's not about taking a high road. I just don't want to take no fucking detour from the road that we are taking. I don't care if you're a good person. I just don't feel like having this discussion.
Like, because it's irrelevant to the other shit happening.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck. You know, I don't know what people do behind closed doors. And a lot of people don't really have platforms that matter. So they don't say, you know, it wouldn't matter what they said. But in general, nah, man, just stick on topic, man. This shit is so trivial compared to stuff like his national security advisor having to resign because he talked to Russia ahead of taking the position. When we have sanctions against Russia, which this shit amounts to like treason. I don't give a fuck if you think Melania's a whore or not. I really don't care. That shit not important. This
no,
shit
not.
Is talking about the security of our nation. This is scary as fuck to me. Yeah, he had been, basically outed by some intelligence that, he had talked to a Russian ambassador. You know, we have super strict restrictions. Russia tampered with our election, and this motherfucker was kikiing with them, possibly at the behest of Trump. They don't want to investigate it. Wonder why.
Right.
This is one of the reasons that sucks when people put all GOP people in charge of the country, because they're not going to investigate each other. Like, even the things that people think is going to bring justice and shit, it ain't going to happen. I forget her name, but, the woman who was a judge that Trump had fired, she had had a report on this dude that was like, can't trust him, he got ties to Russia, and
everybody knew that
she ignored it. Right. And then of course she turns out to be right, and this dude has to step the fuck down.
Right. Why the fuck would you listen to a woman?
He had the job for 24 days. Mm-hmm. And he basically lied when he talked to Mike Pence, allegedly, right?
I don't believe that.
He lied. Like, because who knows if they were in on it together. Yeah. Attorney General Sally Yates last month briefed Trump and Flynn that Flynn had misled officials about a phone call, and she told Trump that the Department of Justice believed that Flynn was vulnerable to Russian blackmail. Yep. Here's another thing you got to worry about, guys. I brought it up on the show before, but how many people is Russian blackmailing?
Come on.
Well, y'all see these votes come in? Like,
it's a lot of people that I think, if they, quote unquote, went underneath the gun, they voted, even if they're Republicans, would vote against that shit. But they go, nope, because if I fuck around and say the wrong thing, some embarrassing shit or some shit that's going to cost me to lose my job is going to come out, so they keep quiet.
Do these people ideally agree with Trump and his methods? Or are some of them being blackmailed? We don't know.
Right.
Because nobody gave a fuck.
Nobody's investigating.
Nobody cared. They care about more about if the DNC said anything that wasn't kind about Bernie Sanders than they gave a fuck about the fact that the DNC got hacked by Russians in the first place. Right? Like y'all, like, that's where it was. The horse is out the barn. So yeah, he had to resign after just 24 days. Kellyanne Conway tweeted, "I love you back," to a white nationalist on Twitter, and then quickly deleted it. Not a major story, par for the course, kind of, but interesting. Trump signed a law rolling back disclosure rule for energy and mining companies. What does that mean? The disclosure, as in when they donate to campaigns, they no longer have to tell anybody what amounts, who they donated to, any of that shit. Why is that the first bill you signed into law, bro? And why did everybody agree with that one? That's interesting. Who doesn't want to know where the money's going? Who control? Who has interest in oil? Follow the money, right? But hey, draining the swamp, and filling it with oil.
Of course.
The Secret Service director has announced his retirement. Totally different white dude. This administration going through white dudes faster than Holly Berry.
You know what? I bet that's a stressful ass job. They was, and that part, they normally keep this person, do all the administrations, right? That person, now unless they get fired or something like that. I don't know if he came in with the administration, but I'm assuming that this person probably already had the job.
He took over as acting director of the agency in October 2014, was later sworn in as a permanent director February 2015.
Right,
so he'd only been there a couple of years.
Okay, but he had already had the job, so he's one of them things where he was like, well, shit, protecting the nigga wasn't this hard, motherfucker. No.
Yeah, here's the thing. All this turnover, it's gonna lead to more of these scandals, because these are the people that are gonna know where the bodies are buried. You keep thinking that these people just gonna walk away quietly. You firing white people, for one, but until you think a lot of these people aren't either a morally outraged, so they're leaving because they're like, I don't want to work for this nigga, and they're gonna tell everything on the way out the door or through leaks and shit later, or they're like legitimately just like, I'm gonna stab somebody in the back, let's get this person out of here, so then people gonna want revenge, so you're gonna have scandals that way. Like, you can't get rid of people that know shit and then think that they won't fucking clap back. And that's why you seeing a lot of this shit come out in hindsight, because it's like, oh, a lot of turnover, like all these people resigned at the same time, and then 2 weeks later, did you know that Russian intelligence said that so and so? It's like, oh, coincidence. Yeah, I don't think so. Police are
they're gonna be out there just like them scientists. They're gonna be mixing shit up and blowing shit up.
Like the scientists in cartoon movies and stuff.
Right, yeah, we're gonna fuck around, it's gonna be some kind of virus in the air killing us, and they're gonna be like, I told y'all. Nobody wanted to listen to the intelligent person telling you some shit was fucked up.
Police officers said, we didn't vote Republican to get stabbed in the back. In a highly contentious battle to extinguish public worker rights, Iowa Republicans have attempted a divide and conquer approach to pit unions against each other. Their legislation splits public workers into two groups, ones that's public safety workers and one that isn't. The idea was to strip away nearly all collective bargaining rights from most public employees, but keep most of it for the police and firefighters, who are politically more difficult to go after. It didn't work. Hundreds of helmeted firefighters have flooded the state house in the last week, and police officers and sheriffs have lined up at a committee hearings to speak against it. They don't trust that this carve out for their jobs will last long, nor do many of them feel it's appropriate to deny the bargaining rights they have to fellow workers who have also had them for over 40 years. And several police officers and firefighters warned that Republicans plan to create special public safety class for negotiations wouldn't work in many cases. John Thomas, a police officer from Mitchellville, explained last week that some sheriff's deputies wouldn't get classified as public safety workers because there's more jailers and clerks in the bargaining unit. The Republican bill only classifies workers as public safety employees if a majority of workers in a bargaining unit is made up of police or firefighters. That has many police officers who vote for the Republicans in large numbers this year, particularly upset. Yeah, y'all was like, fuck a teachers union, fuck the MTA, fuck, public transport unions. The only thing we love firemen and cops. We love them so much. Blue Lives Matter. Except when we get in office and cut their fucking budget. Fuck these niggas and nope, we don't want your union negotiating either. And the police union and shit has alienated themselves from so many other unions over the years by talking shit about everybody but themselves. I can't wait to see the motherfucker squirm.
Mike, don't think you ain't gonna get defunded too, dog.
They stay. People in privilege stay hurting themselves because they worried about hurting somebody else.
Come on, you stay talking like the fucking villain in Batman, making speeches and shit. Come on, get the fuck out of here.
I'm just saying, when the gun is sprayed, it don't care where the bullets go. And these motherfuckers stay being like, shoot them, and then standing right over there with the group. Like, okay, well, everybody getting shot. And the last story in That's Y'all Man. Spicer says Trump has been tough on Russia as Moscow deploys a treaty-breaking missile and sends a spy ship within 70 miles of Delaware.
Nigga, what?
Yeah. But he been real tough on Russia. Mm-hmm.
We gonna turn on TV. They're gonna be like, they invading Florida or some shit.
Yeah, Trump's whole administration is essentially...
I'm from Brooklyn, son. I'm from New York. What's really good, son? I don't play no games, yo.
And then getting smacked upside the face. That's pretty much his whole, like, I'm from New York. I run this bitch. And then Russia's like, you don't run shit. Shoot another missile. Fuck them. Mm-hmm. Russia shoot missile. North Korea shoot missile. Iran shoot missile.
They was like, nigga, we got you in office, bitch.
Right. You claim, but them other places didn't. They just don't, they not scared of him.
Right.
They know that you have no preparation to deal with them. And they like, these nukes, our bullets got fucking heat on them too, dog.
Right, because you can't be going out there saying stupid and idiotic shit and insulting other countries.
Yep. All them countries over there.
First of all, bitch.
Every last country. Just right. First of all, bitch. Shoot another missile. Now what?
I know. I got to suffer because these goddamn white people is acting a motherfucking fool. Put somebody in office that I didn't vote for.
Every day, some more shit just come out.
Right. I'm looking like, but I ain't vote for this nigga. But you're American. I don't give a damn.
Right. I ran over there just shaking the motherfucking table. Just.
Hey.
Okay. Now
that's shaking the table.
Mm-mm-mm. All right. Let's get to the good white folk news. Y'all put them in office. We going to talk about them.
Yes, we are.
The Listeria-related Sargento cheese recall has expanded.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so this even affected more white folks than we thought before, guys, okay?
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's getting serious out here in these streets. They announced over the weekend that certain packages of ultra-thin sliced long corn, Colby, and Chef Bland shredded nacho and taco cheese must be recalled due to potential contamination of Listeria monocytogenes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently... they've had to up the recall. They now include sliced Kobe Jack cheese, sliced pepper jack cheese, chef blends, shredded taco cheese, off the block shredded fine cut Kobe Jack cheese, off the block shredded fine cut cheddar jack cheese as well now. So be careful out there. There's no been no reports of illnesses so far, but
I'm gonna be buying that.
Mm-hmm. Stay away from that Sargento, guys.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna be buying the store bought brand.
Mm-hmm.
It's made probably on site.
So, but yeah, it's expanded to other companies too.
What?
Yeah, other companies have also started recalling items that have used Sargento products.
Oh, shit, that's right, because a lot of people buy their cheese in bulk and like have them shipped to their restaurants and shit. Oh, wow.
Taylor Farms will recall 6,630 pounds of chicken and pork salad products that may contain contaminated Listeria monocytogenes. Sargento supplies some cheese products to Taylor Farms.
Oh.
Taylor Farms says certain packages of its signature Cafe Southwest chicken pre-made salad, signature Cafe Southwest style salad with chicken, and the HEB shake, rattle, and bowl Rider Ranch hand were subject to the recall.
Right, because they have that shit kind of pre-chopped up in there. You just kind of dump it all together.
Right.
Oh, they're going to lose millions, possibly billions of dollars.
Yeah, I hate to string this cheese story on out.
Ah!
But anyway you slice it, it's just going to look this way.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, the store's full of holes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they're just in a cheesy, sticky situation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A statement from the U.S. Food Safety and Inspection Services said that the salad products being recalled have been shipped to distribution centers in Los Angeles and Tracy, California, Portland, Oregon, and Houston, Roanoke, and San Antonio, Texas. Country Fresh is recalling 2,552 cases of cooking and snacking products that contain Sargento branded cheeses. The recall products include Tuscan style mushrooms, stuffed mushrooms, Southwest stuffed mushrooms, market side garlic cheese stuffed mushrooms, and ready fresh go fruit and hatch pepper cheese. Mm-hmm.
And if stores are smart, especially if you do your own brand, mm-hmm. all my shit gonna be $2 for $5.
Mm-hmm.
That shit might be cheaper than that. $10 for $5. All my shit gonna be on sale.
Smart. Yep.
Right. If you smart. Because you know what people ain't buying, that Sargento.
Sell a whole wheel of cheese.
Come on.
Get it on the roll. All right, so let's see.
People going to be like, why do I have to pay extra $3 a pound just because you name brand?
MDS Foods recalled products found to be contaminated with Listeria monocytogenes as well. Contaminated products are Amish Classic Kobe Deli Mini Horns, Amish Classics Kobe Full Moons, Deli Ready Kobe Mini Cheese Slices, Deli Made Easy Kobe Cheese Slices, Major Kobe Cheese Mini Horns, and Major Kobe Mini Horns.
What the hell is a mini horn?
I don't know, Karen. That's some white shit. Cheese. This is the white segment. I don't know.
It's shaped like a horn.
Guess white people got horns worth of cheese. Maybe that's how they measure them.
About a horn.
You ever go to the deli and they be like, how you want that slice? Now we know. I just always thought it was sandwich slice. Apparently, one of the choices is horns. Let me get a horn of cheese. Harrison Ford had an incident with a passenger plane in California.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it's involved in a potential serious incident Monday. He was piloting his private plane, a single-engine Husky. Now keep in mind, this nigga crashed the plane like last year or 2 years ago.
I know, on site at whatever.
No. He got hurt on Star Wars, on the set of Star Wars as well, but he also crashed a plane.
Oh, shit, nigga.
Yeah, he's the impossible white man for real.
Mm-mm. You might want to leave them planes alone, dog.
Well, apparently, he's an experienced pilot who collects vintage planes. He had been instructed to land on runway 20L at John Wayne Airport in Orange County, California, but mistakenly aimed for a taxiway instead. His plane passed over the top of American Airlines 737 carrying 110 passengers and 6-person crew.
Oh!
Mm-hmm. The passenger plane, a flight 1546, managed to depart safely for Dallas just minutes after the incident. Ford 74 was heard on the air traffic control recordings asking, was that airliner meant to be underneath me?
Holy shit. No, it wasn't, sir. I know the people's like, motherfucker, I told you not to go this direction.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, my job is to watch all the planes. The computer tells me, and you, sir, was about to cause people to die and possibly kill yourself.
Up there counting parsecs and shit.
Right.
Air traffic controllers then informed Ford that he had landed on a taxiway rather than a runway, a violation of Federal Aviation Administration safety rules. The FAA told the NBC News that controllers gave Ford the proper landing instructions and that he read them back. So he just fucked up. He's been involved in a series of crashes and near crashes while flying the aircraft. In 2015,
you don't need to fly no more, dog.
He crash landed a World War II era airplane in Santa Monica, California golf course after the engine failed. He also crash landed a helicopter in 1999 during a flight lesson in Ventura, California. In 2000, four six-seater Beechcraft Bonanza scraped the runway during an emergency landing at Nebraska Lincoln Municipal Airport, but Ford is revered as an excellent pilot in aviation circles.
What?
All right. I guess he ain't dead. Is that what we're going by?
Right.
He's been inducted by Kitty Hawk Air Academy as a living legend in aviation. Look, it's the impossible to kill white man.
The real impossible white man. Like real life, not movie wise, real life living impossible white man.
Yeah, I know Chewie was up there scared as hell.
I would have been.
I don't feel added pressure. I'm trying to find love. Rachel Lindsay on making history on the as the first black bachelorette.
I don't know who she is.
Well, let's look at the contest clues.
All I know is she's black. That's it.
She probably was a contestant on The Bachelor. She probably came in second. And now she's going to be the bachelorette.
That's right. That is their rule. Right, yes. My bad. I'm sorry, Nick and Reggie. Please forgive me. I forgot. Those are the rules.
Wasted all that time listening to What's the Tea. Didn't pay no attention.
I didn't know that was the child's name.
You going to order some tacos tonight from Chipotle, too?
No, fuck them in them tacos. I don't want no goddamn taco bake.
Well, she was announced as ABC's next bachelorette on Jimmy Kimmel Live on Monday night after making it through yet another episode of The Bachelor. The 31-year-old talked about her upcoming journey on Tuesday, which also happened to be Valentine's Day. Aww. Aww,
that's sweet.
Man, them hoteps gonna wear out the W, the E, the N, the C, the H on all they mama's computers. Boy, woo! All the basements are gonna be full of fury and ash.
And Doritos.
Cause you know she gonna have some white men's on that show, cause they gotta have catered to the demo.
Right.
You know it can't be all brothers. Mm-mm. It's gonna be bad. Oh my God. Mm-mm. You think Scandal season one was bad with these hotels? Mm-hmm. Woo! They gonna be mad at her, this black woman.
Yeah, don't pay your mention no attention, baby, because, honey, you'll be called out your name all types of ways. Not only from the niggas, but from the white folks, too.
Mm-hmm.
Who don't want no nigga.
Oh, you watch The Bachelor Wench? Huh? You watch The Bachelor Wench yet? That's y'all, the Wench Lorette. You over there watching the Wench Lorette. They gotta be hating.
And I know a lot of people are excited. And, it's exciting to, be the first in whatever it is you do.
I bet real fans ain't even that excited, though. Not real black fans. They like, I know how these niggas get. Right. They about to be hating. And you know the school, a show with a history of racism about to put a black woman as the, they gonna fuck it up. Just sad. But that's why I was in white people news, because white people watch this show mostly.
Yep.
In addition to breaking tradition by being announced before the current season's After the Final Rose special, the attorney from Texas will also be the first African-American lead. So normally they wait till After the Final Rose to be like, this person will be the bachelorette.
Right.
They're now announcing it, so it's kind of a spoiler too then, right?
Right. So you know she didn't win.
Or maybe she got, maybe she got voted out. I mean, maybe she didn't get the rose already, and maybe it looks like she's third place. And,
right, maybe she already out. I'm not sure.
I'm just glad I don't have to keep it a secret anymore to Raven Hair Beauty share with the host. You're making history, Straight Hair 45 started the conversation. You're the first African-American bachelorette. How did that make you feel? Is that added pressure, you think? I don't feel added pressure, Rachel stared confidently. I'm just trying to find love. Even though I'm an African-American woman, it's no different than any other bachelorette.
Mm-hmm. And it shouldn't be, baby.
So if you gotta wrap your hair up at night, you need silk pillows. Come on now. Mm-hmm. You ain't fooling us. It's different. You ain't fooling us, girl. Mm-hmm. The eligible lady kept the focus on herself rather than attempting to be a spokesperson, adding, I'm honored to have this opportunity to represent myself as an African-American woman. Yep. So, good for her. Good for you, sis.
I'm handing it for you.
Yep.
I just hope they treat you right, that's all.
Yeah, I'm definitely not tuning in.
Oh no.
Shout out to all the new black people that's gonna be tuning in that ain't been watching this shit. That's about to be hot every week. Right. Think piece up.
Come on. Woo!
These streets.
Them keyboards on them keyboards gonna be L I T.
Mm.
I'll just do my normal recap through Nick and Reggie. I know y'all got me, dog.
Mm-hmm. Even though she ain't know who Rachel was, mm-hmm. or that.
It was I don't black... know who none of the white people is.
Right. But she been listening.
I have been listening.
You gonna order them tacos.
I'm not hurting them goddamn tacos.
Single and loving it. Charlize Theron, Bethany Frankel, and Mayim Bialik post fun Valentine's Day notes that have nothing to do with romance.
Oh.
Yep. No. Valentine's Day is for everybody. It don't matter if you not with somebody. Why you can't get in on the fun?
True.
You know? Valentine's Day is a harsh holiday if you're single. All those people kissing and buying each other flowers is enough to send a lonely heart into depression. But some celebrities are having fun on V-Day, even if they didn't get a great romance in their life.
Aww.
Charlize Theron was eating some cupcakes and said, she's Charlize Africa on Instagram. I see you, sis. Yeah. She said, Valentine's Day, an excuse to eat cupcakes.
Ain't it, though?
Mm-hmm. Bethany Frankel just put one with some big balloon lips and said, pucker up.
Oh, that's cute.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that outfit she got on. Yes, ma'am.
And then she also went on Twitter and put, will you be my Valentine? Which got 200 likes with only 9 retweets. Damn. Y'all be stingy with them retweets, boy. I tell you that. Lily Collins said, happy Valentine's Day, sending lots of hugs and kisses your way, always and forever.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
I like the color of hair, it's beautiful.
Yeah, I see you, Lily. Mayim Bialik says, woke up alone and I'm about to get ready to give a science talk to a bunch of engineers. I may ask all of them to be my Valentine. Hashtag Valentine's Day. Hashtag current state of affairs. Hashtag keeping it real.
Got out of bed.
Nicki Minaj posted a bunch of roses.
All those roses are beautiful.
Yep. And she just put HYD. I think said me, how y'all doing? I don't know.
I don't know the kids slang, honey. Yeah. Don't be using them 3-letter words at me. I gotta ask Twitter for everything. What that mean? They'll tell me too. I be so lost and confused. They be using all that slang. I'm old.
It could mean like, how's your day, baby?
That's true.
So... all right, next white people news. But shout out to people for celebrating Valentine's.
Mm-hmm. No matter how you celebrate.
Everybody was announcing they pregnant today.
Oh.
Everybody. I was like, woo, everybody pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Keep all that.
Madonna, 58 years old, boldly frees the nipple in a risque cover for Vogue Italia as she teases first shoot since becoming a mother again to Malawian twins.
Oh,
she done copped us some more black babies.
Yeah, she trying it since Brad and Angelique ain't no more. She like, good. I
start, she got to catch up.
Brian, start getting the kids again. I ain't got to worry about y'all adopting the whole country.
It's that jealousy. She like, oh, these niggas got, they just copped 2 more black babies? Damn. Oh, you know what? I'm about to stud on these niggas. I'm about to get 2 Malawians and it's from the fall line. And we're going to be right back on their ass. Yeah, apparently she took center stage once again for the first time since becoming a mother for the 5th and 6th time. She boldly flashed her nipples on Vogue Italia.
You good? You want to get your contact? Are you good?
No, it's just my eye keeps watering. I don't know why. It's just itching. Anyway.
Oh.
Yeah, so she said, look at these bad boys. Praising strong independent women for taking risks, the 58-year-old icon shared a proud Instagram of the risque haute couture cover on Monday from their Polaroid issue, which was shot by photographer Stephen Klein. Going braless in the transparent silky shirt, the Like a Prayer star added an opulent diamond necklace, posing provocatively with one finger in her mouth. She wore her peroxide blonde hair in the 1950s style pin curls, framing her eyes with a dramatic sweep of mascara and iridescent bronze eyeshadow. She stared confidently down the barrel of the lens in the mesmerizing shot. Clearly proud of the end result, Madonna shared it with her fans on social media and wrote, "Stamped by SK for the Polaroid issue at Stephen Klein Studio for Italian Vogue. God bless you, Franca Sozzani, not only for what you did for the world of fashion, but for encouraging strong, independent women to take risk, like showing us them nipples."
Beautiful.
Sharing more seductive photos from the shoot on Instagram, Madonna wrote, "Good morning, world." Well, it couldn't have shown too much nipple because, you know, Instagram will take you off of there. And she officially confirmed that she adopted two Malawian twins. So little black girl's gonna get a home. Hopefully she just stick to calling the white one nigga and let them rest, let them cook. So there you guys go, Madonna.
Mm-hmm. If you were wondering.
Mm-hmm. Amy Schumer kissed her boyfriend on a hilarious kiss cam on the eve of Valentine's Day. Everybody's now favorite.
I do know who she is. I don't know who that man is.
Her boyfriend is Ben Hanisch. They've been together for 14 months. There was no way Amy Schumer was going to let her beau Ben Hanisch off the hook when they were caught on a kiss cam at a sporting event on the eve of Valentine's Day. The 35-year-old actress first turned to her dad, Gordon, and gave him a chaste kiss on the cheek. Then she carefully took off her cap and sunglasses before launching herself at the furniture designer for a really good snog. And he was more than happy to respond, grabbing her head and only pulling back when he needed breath, smiling at the camera with his hands up. The crowd cheered as the couple smiled and waved at their very public display of affection. In case anybody missed it, the star of TV's Inside Amy Schumer posted a 20-second clip of the hilarious romantic moment on Instagram on Tuesday. Good for you guys.
Some like me on Instagram.
I don't even want to know what the comments look like.
Me either.
All right, let's go to some guest erase, okay? You guys have gotten all the whiteness that you need, I'm assuming.
I'm assuming so, too.
Feel like we're all whited out.
Ah!
It's like we didn't even talk about all this stuff about racism, isn't it?
Y'all know me. I'm going to forget tomorrow, so.
Now that it's time for some guest erase. That's right, it's guest erase time. Now that it's time for some guest erase. That's right, it's guest erase time. That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all the podcasts, and we read and play news articles from all over the globe. And we ask our contestants today, Karen in the chat room, to guess the race. And of course, they're all racist. All right, Guess the Race is brought to you by Bevel. Bevel is the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Get clearer, smoother skin with Bevel. Isn't that what we all want? Okay, it's Valentine's. The guys who already went out and got it, they're loving me right now. They're like, Rod, you were so right. The people that didn't get it, they're like, why? What's wrong with my neck? Why am I looking like this? She's never gonna say yes. That's right. You fucked up, buddy. You should have listened to me. For weeks I tried to help your ass out, but you stupidly you just kept ignoring me. But let me tell you something, okay? Ladies, if you're dating somebody with some facial hair issues, it makes a great Valentine's Day gift too.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if it's too late, if it's after Valentine's Day, it's too late, you didn't get a date, well, get to shaving now, okay? Maybe they'll feel even more let down. I don't know. Just take a chance. All right, go to getbevel.com/TBGWT to get your first month free. That's all you got to do. Getbevel.com/TBGWT. Two Texas high school students are accused of conspiring to poison their assistant principal. A substitute teacher at Waco area Lorena High School, where Kelly Lynn Prater and Shelby Grace Gill, both 17, are enrolled, reportedly overheard the girl discussing details of their plan. An arrest affidavit states that the teacher heard the girl discussing how to get away with it and considering poisoning their target with an undetectable substance. The teenagers allegedly turned against the school's assistant principal after he reprimanded one of them for leaving campus during school without permission, a violation of a school district policy.
No shit.
So you were wrong and you still gonna kill, you gonna back it up with murder? What?
It ain't got to make sense for kids.
Prater was arrested January 30th and Gill was arrested February 9th. Neither suspect denied making statements about plotting the murder when interviewed by police. They also allegedly made comments about the intended victim's wife and children. School administrators were fearful of the threat that students posed because of the degree to which they planned the assault. The teacher, who reportedly also fears for her own safety, given the girl's aggressive tone. Prater and Gill are charged with making a terroristic threat a Class B misdemeanor punishable up to 180 days in county jail and up to $2,000 fine. Guess the race, Karen?
White.
Karen's going with white. Let's check the chat room and see what they believe. Oh, man, let me scroll down. let's see. Mean Girls, white. Pretty Little Liars, white. Murder Was the Grade That They Gave Me, white. Chalk, Cash Me Outside, white. Cash Me Outside, white. Two different people said that right after each other. Wonder Bread, white. Admitted it because they knew their whiteness would get them off Vice Principal Gamby and Russell's children. Yep. And everybody, it looked like everybody went with white on this one. And everybody was correct. Good job.
Catch Me Outside, how about that?
And I will put the, you know, she's going back on Dr. Phil.
For why?
Cause her mom is her manager. Watch whiteness work.
Come on.
I have a bad kid now to book her for several shows and never change her behavior at all.
Money for you now.
Mm-hmm. Did the picture come up, Karen? Come on over here, partner in the show.
Yes.
All right. So they was white as hell.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. One of them does look a little Cash Me Outside. How about that ish?
Come on.
All right, let's go to the bonus round. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right, double the points, double the race, and the bonus round against the race. So far, everybody is one for one. But let's see if they can keep it up as the stakes get higher. Doop 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 doop. All right. A teacher was apparently extorted out of $28,000 by a student in a sextortion plot. Mm-hmm.
What?
A middle school teacher in Texas paid a former student nearly $28,000 to keep their sexual relationship a secret. And she was arrested after the teen's mother found out about their romps. Thou Sandy Doan, a teacher at Raul Quintanilla Senior Middle School in Dallas, was arrested last week and faces a sexual assault charge in connection to the alleged relationship with a 14-year-old boy.
What?
Citing Doan's arrest warrant affidavit filed by police ISD Police Department. The boy's mother told investigators earlier this month that he was receiving large amounts of money. He was using it for illegal purposes, which created problems at home. Yeah, because he's 14.
And dumb.
Nothing he can do with $28,000. And also, how the fuck you got $28,000 teaching middle school?
A retirement plan. And
you knew that answer too quick, but go ahead.
How else you gonna get access to that much money that quickly? Oh, yeah. You're in a house with a child who don't have a job. So, as a parent, you're gonna go, how the fuck did you get this Xbox? How the fuck do you get this shit that I didn't pay for? You'll start asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
Your children are dumb.
Yep.
They don't know how to keep secrets.
How a kid gonna hide $28,000?
How is a kid gonna hide that much money? They ain't got a fucking bank account.
Like, is that your husband's money? Where are you getting $28,000 as a teacher, man?
Are you doing some illegal shit, dude? What's happening here?
Mm-hmm. The boy's mother told administrators the payments needed to stop and provided the investigators with screenshots of messages showing that her son asked for money. Watch, I'ma start getting pics and everything ready to show the cops, right? I ain't playing. One message read. Dallas ISD, the police department spokeswoman Robin Harris said, Dawn, 27. Yeah, 27. She ain't got $28,000 in the savings for the teacher thing.
Yeah, she fairly young. Okay.
She was placed on administrative leave January 10th. She had been employed with the district since 2014. Damn, you got to fucking these kids right away, huh? Harris told the Post in a brief telephone interview Wednesday she declined to elaborate on whether Dawn had any previous disciplinary issues or infractions, citing privacy concerns. Dawn, according to the school's website, worked as a coach for the cross country and soccer teams. Attempts to reach her were unsuccessful, and it wasn't clear she had hired an attorney. Dawn admitted to the police, according to the arrest affidavit, that she communicated with the boy via text messages, Instagram, and Kick before they had sex in a park in the summer of 2015. They also had sex later that year between November and December, and again in December 2016. Dawn, who was arrested Friday, was released from jail after posting bail. The boy's mother told KDFW that she saw her son's behavior change dramatically after the time he allegedly started this fling with the teacher.
Of course.
Yeah.
Just like that affects children. It affects everybody, you know, want to act like girls are the only ones affected, but it affects boys too.
At times he started getting into drugs, drinking, and leaving the house, and he would probably get money and just leave the whole weekend. I wouldn't hear from him. I'd be out looking for him. Son, come home. I'm smoking weed, mama. I'm getting pussy now. Life has changed. I got money. Dawn confirmed to authorities in a search warrant affidavit the boy received an image of her exposing her breast. The two also engaged in explicit texting. She did very bad. She did bad, she said. And I'm not condoning what he did because I know he was wrong. And what he also did was blackmailing. It's not acceptable. The most recent payment to the boy, now 15, was $1,500, according to his mother, which was sent one day before she reported the messages to school officials. I mean, this is very hurtful because he's a victim here. And he was a child. She continued, he is the child, he's still a child, but it hurts me because I've been through a lot with him. She told KDFW that her son had been previously arrested on unrelated burglary and robbery charges. Yep. So guess the race of the teacher, since the kids are obviously not in here.
What's her name?
Her name is, let me tell you her first name. Thou Sandy Dawn. I guess they call her Sandy, but her name is Thou Sandy Dawn.
Asian.
Karen's going with Asian on this for the teacher. All right. Let's check the chat room and see what you guys believe. She loved him long time. Oh, Black Rob. Me so horny, let me taste your egg roll. Asian boy. She was banging that was Nigerian. Oh, Lizzie. This is why you in the chat. That's what I was going to say, Black Rob. Okay. First name, Thou, Asian. Sucky me to me, I sucky to you, Asian.
Aww.
Asian, Asian. How doth thou hit it, Asian? Thou shouldn't fuck kids, Asian. Asian. Can't drive, Asian. I told everybody out there listening, these motherfuckers is racist. Y'all right. Y'all got it right.
At the end said orange chicken.
Oh God,
I'm surprised they ain't go number three.
You see the lyric, see the picture, I mean.
Yes.
All right, there you go. She was Asian. Where did she get $28,000?
Somebody family missing some money.
28,000? Shit,
she taking that from somebody.
Nigga, you gonna expose me at like the $500 level. I ain't got it. I'ma tell. I guess I'm going to jail, dog. I don't know. Can't extend. You came up with $28,000 in 2 years? Woo! Boy. I know she was mad as hell. He showed the school and some new kicks. Like, this nigga.
Right.
Spending money. You gonna give me that dick, though? Is I'm gonna get some dick tonight? Okay, cool. But damn, really? Another $1,500? No, maybe the teachers aren't addicted to fucking the kids. Maybe they're addicted to going to jail. Anybody think about that yet? I was like, I really would like 3 meals and a nice warm bed. A California man admits to killing his parents in a sword attack. Of course he did. Authorities say a Northern California man who stands accused of stabbing his mother and father to death in 2015 has pleaded guilty to 2 counts of murder. The Santa Rosa Press Democrat reports that Nathan Alexander Wilson of Sebastopol was charged with killing 66-year-old David Wilson and 60-year-old Adrian Chapin with a sword on a property he shared with them. Authorities say he struggled for years with mental illness. The 35-year-old was arrested in November 2015, the day after the slayings. Under the terms of his plea, he'll be sentenced March 3rd to 40 years to life in prison. He did not admit to special circumstances for multiple murders, what would have prevented him from someday being released on parole. His attorney was not immediately available for comment. Killed his own parents with a sword. Can't let these kids have these swords, y'all. All right, man, we'll be back tomorrow. I guess we'll be Jeremy from the Crown of College podcast, and we will be recapping Walking Dead. I know that's what y'all really been waiting on us to get back to,
right?
And we know it. We can't wait to talk about the Walking Dead as well. We saw it.
Yes.
So we'll talk to y'all tomorrow. I believe it'll be at 7 p.m. So we'll see you guys then.
Okay.
Until tomorrow, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.